Views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here?
It ships from somewhere else, didn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me, think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The doctor is in. That's right, lay in the couch. We're going to get our therapy done early in this show. It's not as bad as people think, or is it? I don't know. We're going to figure that out, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm circling the wagons. I have not given up on this team. 5-3 at the halfway point. I look for this team to rebound this week. We're going to talk about that, but there's a lot of analysis to do. Yeah, the Patriots have problems. We're going to talk about them. This could be a very important week, both on and off the field. We'll see. I think that, you know, even though the bye was a couple weeks ago, I think the team might be looking at this as a sort of, I don't know if it's spring cleaning is the right word for it, but it's one of those self-reflection type weeks. I think we're going to see some things happening this week. That will indicate to the fan base that the team is ready to attack this second half of the season. We'll see. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Paul's here. Andy's coming. Eric will be – he won't be by later. Kevin's in the booth. And so we lose to the New York Giants, and it was a real heartbreaker because, you know, you look at the defense. They played so well for most of the game. And while they were playing well, what happened to the offense? It just sputtered. They just couldn't get anything going. Brady was off. There's no doubt about it. He was off target. I think that, you know, overall they were out of sync. I don't think that the Giants, you know, the pass rush caused some problems, but that wasn't that big a deal. I think they did a decent job keeping Brady clean. They just, you know, I think maybe worrying about the Giants' pass rush made a difference in how they called the plays and what plays they called. And Brady maybe, you know, the perception of pressure maybe screwed up some plays. You know, so that was really discouraging that the defense played so well for so long and the offense couldn't build a lead. And then at the end, all of a sudden, the offense wakes up and the defense goes back to its old ways and just screws up in the backfield and, you know, can't stop a play without causing a penalty. And by the way, they were both penalties. There's just no doubt about it. I don't care, you know, what Kyle Arrington says. I don't care what Sergio Brown says. The refs had to call those plays. There's just no way, other way, you know, to look at it. So they were both just out of position and not ready to make a play on the ball, and that's what happens. So I don't begrudge the Giants those yards on those two big plays. You know, besides that, you know, Ballard down the middle, down the seam, makes a great catch. What are you going to do? And then Manning runs down to the 20 to get into field goal position. Again, you know, what are you going to do? You know, they weren't setting the edge, I guess, because he had all that open space. And, You know, it's not like you look at Manning as a running quarterback, but you gotta plan for that. You gotta have somebody that's keeping an eye on the quarterback, and it just didn't happen. Total breakdown on that last drive, in all areas. But we're here to talk about it. Paul, Andy, opening thoughts?
You made it sound like that we weren't here.
Well, you were here.
It was like an opening. Yeah, but I was here the whole time that you were talking.
I know, but you were looking at your iPhone, and Andy walked in late. So, you know, what am I going to do? I got to fill time.
Well, you didn't have to fill time is my point.
Paul's very good at filling time. He's mastered that art.
I don't know what that means. You pretty much touched on all of it. We're going to do a little therapy today. I don't think I would agree with you. I don't think it's over. I don't think it's time to make vacation plans for the second week of January or anything like that.
Oh, should I not have done that?
No, you shouldn't have. Although I do have jury duty.
I thought you were getting out of that.
No, I told you I was getting out of it.
No, by saying who you are, you'll get out of it.
Oh, I think that will happen.
Yeah.
Because you have to put down your occupation, and I think, I don't think there's much of a chance of a...
Is curmudgeon one of the selections?
I was thinking a-hole, but...
I'll just say I think all criminal defendants are stupid.
A lot of groundswell of support for you on the internet, on Twitter today. There was a couple fans that retweeted one, I believe, Real Pats Fans, I think is the Twitter handle, tweeted, maybe we need to get some reps for Hoyer or Mallett. And I retweeted it with just a wow and getting shredded. And now most people are responding, I think Paul's right. Fans are stupid. Because literally, and I don't want to make fun of it, but the person said, and went under the pressure, maybe a little more mobility on the field. Ryan Mallett is the biggest stiff. And I mean literally, not figuratively.
He has no mobility.
That there is. He can't move. But we've reached that point where they're calling for the backup quarterback.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Yes,
and I'm sure it's a small minority of
fans. And just like, listen, when we're talking about...
And we say dumb things. Sometimes you send out a tweet and you go, I probably shouldn't have sent that. I was emotional at the time.
Well, it's like the whole stupid thing. I mean, and not to, ruin any of the, little characters that we created for ourselves. But I'm not talking about every single Patriots fan when I say the fans are stupid. It's the people who think because Tom Brady had a subpar game on Sunday, he needs to be replaced. That's what I'm talking about. Not, Patriots Nation as a whole.
Right. It's the empty barrel makes the most noise. And that's the way it is with fans. You listen to talk radio and it's the same 20 or so people that call every day. And
does a full barrel make the least noise?
Yeah, because it's not echoing and bouncing around. So that's the way that works.
Is that a common phrase, the empty barrel?
Oh, for God's sake. Brooklyn Matt, where are you? I never heard an empty barrel makes the most noise?
I never heard that. I heard the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Gets the grease.
Whatever. Grease, oil.
No,
empty. The difference.
Oh, for God's sake. Anyway.
Maybe in your era, that was a common phrase.
My dad told me the squeaky wheel gets replaced.
Yeah. All right.
Why are you still here then?
I let it go.
But there are problems.
And listen, another thing, if you want to have the little groundswell of support, I took a lot of heat last week for sort of wondering, why no one was talking about what the offense was doing. Is three enough?
No.
Right.
No?
Four will be after the Jets, who are playing very well on defense, shut them down.
Well, maybe they go, but see... Maybe they go out and they put it all together, but this offense to me is good, but it's defendable, and I don't think you have to be superb defensively to do it.
The Giants proved that because they're not a great defense.
No, not with all those guys they're missing, I just think that there's ways to go about this, and I don't know if they're going to make some moves here. We've been talking. Fred, you brought it up about a month ago about bringing back Randy Moss. I don't think it's out of the question. I don't think it's the right thing to do.
You want to hear a rant?
I don't think it's the answer.
When they replace one washed up Jag with another and Taylor Price continues to be buried. And by the way, I didn't care for Brady's comment when we have no other choice. We're going to keep working at it with Ocho Cinco. We have no other choice. Yes, you do. His name's Taylor Price. He's a choice.
When Andy starts talking fast.
Well, I just don't get it. I don't get the hate for Taylor Price or the utter lack of respect or confidence. I don't understand why he can't get on the field and get a chance.
So you're not buying the hamstring?
No, I'm not buying the hamstring.
You think that they're just covering up for him?
Did you read Bill's comments?
What?
about the hamstring.
What was
you know, he didn't, it wasn't an injury. Just after a week of work, it tightened up and he might be back out there next week practicing. And I mean, he's basically laying the groundwork for he's going to be practicing this week and right. off the injury report.
So you're not buying
No,
that,
I'm not.
That maybe he was 80% and it did tighten
no,
up a
I'm
little
not
bit.
Not buying it. He wasn't on the injury report
so
all
you,
week,
you
right?
think that they worry about his feelings that much that they...
No, I think they worry about the, you can
How
squash a story by saying he's not a healthy scratch. He was nicked up.
Right.
If you don't, then he's just a healthy scratch again, and people start to say, why is he a healthy scratch when Ocho's playing?
And coming off a week, Fred, that your coaching staff brought him up. Bill O'Brien in his conference
right?
call
no,
last
no,
Tuesday.
We were all excited.
Right. He said that we needed to find a way to get this guy more reps,
right.
and then you follow that up 5 days later by making him a healthy scratch. I think Bill was saying that's not going to look good.
Right.
One of the conspiracy
theories. Our offensive
theories,
coordinator is trying to get more stats for a guy that we're making a healthy scratch.
One of the conspiracy theories is Bill was teaching him a lesson,
Bill O'Brien,
to not go out there and say we're going to make this guy more a part of the offense, or even it's not your decision to say this guy is going to be more a part of the offense, and Bill taught him a lesson. I don't buy that, but
okay.
that's one of the conspiracy
so
theories on Twitter.
So he was a healthy scratch
I don't buy that either,
because of Edelman? Being back, or who was...
Oh, I don't know the exact maneuverings.
Well, Edelman...
He's a healthy scratch, basically, because you're continuing to go with Ocho Cinco, who's irrelevant.
Yeah, Edelman is the one guy who was the healthy scratch
yeah.
against Pittsburgh, so that's the one for one.
But
it, to me, it comes down to Ocho or Taylor Price. I think Andy's right. And
I mean,
we both
Falk
talked
was
about
out.
It.
I mean, there's a lot of different maneuverings. I don't know if it's a one-for-one thing there, but he was a healthy scratch.
And we talked about it on Friday on the roster report, and then we talked about it again on the JetBlue Patriots pregame social. You know, do you bite the bullet? Is it time to just say, okay, we've seen Ocho get a chance here. It's not happening.
Five chances actually on Sunday.
So let's go with someone else. I don't know if they're ready to do that because you have to make him a healthy scratch.
Cut him.
If you do that, you might as well just cut him because, you know.
Cut both of them. Haynesworth and Ocho. I'm telling you, the midway point for Bill is the perfect time to say,
absolutely would.
I screwed up.
Andy, I would.
They are not the right people for this team, but we have a half a season to go. We're still tied for first place. We that are all in it and are going in the right direction can do this. I'm sorry. Fresh start. Let's move on.
I absolutely would. I would cut them both. Haynesworth is skating around here because Ocho is such a high profile guy. And you can easily tabulate what he's doing. 9 catches for 136 yards. You know, it's been like that for, you know, weeks now. He's gone without a catch.
Which is such an utter shame because
well,
one's trying and one isn't.
Well,
and one just hasn't had anything.
You know,
Haynesworth has been every bit as bad, if not more. And I don't think, like Andy just alluded to, I don't think he's given you the effort that Ocho's
Well, that's the thing. I saw at the beginning of the game, early, Haynesworth moving the pile. And then I saw that one drive where he got pancaked on one play. And then, you know, I heard reports that he might have asked out of the game. And now we're hearing that there was some confrontation with him and Pepper Johnson.
Yep.
I didn't see that.
Neither did
I'm not surprised. I mean, Pepper Johnson's had confrontations with guys like Junior Seau.
Because he doesn't take
in
crap.
In front of the building. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He doesn't take crap. So I'm not surprised if Haynesworth was acting up that they may have had words.
And I'm sure it pisses
Problem
Pepper
is no,
off.
No one really... has it on video, so we don't know exactly what it was about.
Don't you think it pisses Pepper off that he defended him? He gave him the chance, the fresh start
oh,
in that
sure.
press conference and training camp.
Yeah.
And the type of guy he is, having played as long as he is, has coached as long as he has now,
well,
that must really rub him the wrong
but
way.
But here's the thing. You know, we're judging this all on we don't think he's giving 100% effort.
That's
you know,
among other things.
Well, what are the other things?
I don't think he's played well when he's been on the field, even when he has been.
Well, that
effort.
Could be because of effort. You might be right.
Well, I don't think yeah. he's not given an effort on every play. I think there's been plays that he's gotten taken out of, and you know he's getting knocked to the ground, and he's not doing anything to get back up and get back. That's effort.
Yeah.
But
no,
I think there's other plays where guys. I mean, I haven't seen the double and triple team blocks that everybody's been telling me about. I've seen you know the holding call that you know we stopped the presses about when he draws a holding call. That was 1-on-1. It's a guy block, just a regular guard blocking him.
I also didn't think he held him.
No, it was a pancake block is what it was, but a lot of times those get called for holding, and that's what happened on that play. Whenever you go down as a defensive lineman and there's an offensive lineman engaged with you, that's a 50-50 shot. You can get called for holding on any one of those.
But
to me, that was a pancake block.
The bigger issue to me is, and I said this to Paul, during the game, we were well into the game when they were rotating defensive linemen and Haynesworth hadn't played yet. I don't know the exact point where he made his first step on the field, but they were down the rotation. And I just think with Brace back, He might have been your fifth. Well, he might have. He's clearly behind Will Fork and Love.
It's not just
that.
And then
Warren and Brace are ahead of you.
Yeah.
You're five.
It's not just that. It's the other thing that indicates to me that they're kind of really souring on Haynesworth is how effusive Belichick was in his praise of Dedrick last week. You know, someone asked him a question, and you know, he seems to be coming on playing well, and you know, he started going on. He's good hand technique, quick feet, really playing well, blah, blah, blah. And I think sometimes he does that when there's another guy that he's upset with.
Could be.
And
not the same position, which is the only issue there.
Yeah, but they're out. They're both on the defensive line, and they're out there. And Dedrick just came back, you know, a couple weeks ago. You know, so
he played well on Sunday.
I think he was very active.
He also got used uniquely that I thought in – since we've seen this four-man front, he was doing a lot of standing up, shifting around, moving at the snap.
Kind of getting a head start.
So
with
I don't
Russ.
Know.
Yeah.
I don't know what that if that's a personal thing for him or if that was a game plan thing. But I certainly didn't see a lot of that from Sean Ellis when he was out there. It looked a little different for him.
Yeah. So I think there might be some moves this week.
Okay. Who's going to get cut?
I think Haynesworth might. I really do. I don't think Ocho
Cinco.
Isn't
that the kind of move that Bill makes? It's as much about, you know, getting rid of a player and trying to get someone else in as it is the other 52 guys that are left behind.
Well, that's the thing.
You know, I don't care who you are, where you came from. If I don't think you're doing the job,
exactly,
you're out.
If Haynesworth was playing a little, you know, he was your best lineman, but even only just by a little bit, they wouldn't cut him. But he's, like you said, he's like fifth on the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
So why?
Yeah, he's definitely expendable.
I mean, this is addition by subtraction. You can add to the morale of your team.
Yeah, you make it a rallying
point. If you believe he's dogging it and all that.
Right.
Okay.
If what we see is true. Now, I don't know. We could be totally wrong.
Right. And you don't cut him then. If he's working hard and he's like Ocho and he's just done, you may not cut him.
He might have a serious back problem that we are completely not taking into consideration.
Serious?
But the team knows that he's dealing with that we don't know about.
Right, but it's not serious. Well, he wouldn't be deemed healthy, come off the injury report every single
week.
Well,
serious enough to be, to limit him in the game.
I think it's
and
back
that he's
spasms
battling
and something
through.
They can't prove he doesn't
have.
But
we don't know that. You know,
and I don't doubt that he's dealing
with something.
No, but
if it's serious, he would not leave the injury report. Even if he were practicing, it would say limited. He would if it was a serious back injury.
But then he was back on.
No, I know, but that tells me it's not serious. It's him complaining or something flared up.
Well, it's something.
If it's serious, it never leaves the injury report.
Well, like Gerard Mayo. Gerard Mayo has a knee injury. He's been back for a couple of games. He's still on the injury report because we know his knee's not 100%.
But you know, a guy that big, if you've got a back problem, that's a problem.
But you
can't prove he does or doesn't for most of those injuries.
I'm just
like Terry Glenn.
Right.
You couldn't prove he had a hamstring injury. You couldn't prove he didn't.
Right. Right.
I'm with Andy on that, and I think that there's no way of being able to quantify it, but I'll bet you there are 30 players out there playing in more pain than Albert Haynesworth.
Tell you who looks like he is, Sebastian Vollmer.
Everybody.
He's walking funny. I think his back is still bothering him, but he played.
I am very, very concerned about Vollmer. That's a great point. But in terms of Haynesworth, I'm not dismissing his back problem. I believe that he has one. I just don't think that he's playing in any more pain than the vast majority of guys that are playing the NFL 8 weeks in, nine weeks in.
Let's take a quick phone call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Dante from North Carolina is on the line. Hey, Dante.
Hey, how y'all fellas doing today, man?
Good.
What's up?
Good. How you been?
I'm doing pretty good, man. First of all, let's talk about the offense, man. Think we need Randy Moss, to tell you the truth.
You think we need Randy?
Yes, I do. Okay. Every time Brady threw the ball, when he was intercepted, it was in the middle of the field, man. And another thing, when he was throwing the ball to Ocho, man, Ocho couldn't have caught none of them balls, man. He wasn't throwing that ball like he was throwing to Gronowski and Westlaw all day.
I know. Well, here's the thing about Ocho.
Every time Gronowski dropped a pass, he dropped a couple passes too there. But when Ocho go to him, he dropped it to something. Everybody make a big record of it. Every time he threw that ball to Ocho Sydney, He couldn't cut that ball, man.
Well, but how do you know Ocho was in the right position?
Well, that's the thing. It just seems like every time there's an incomplete to Ocho, it's like this dramatic event. It's not even close to being
because he doesn't catch any. Gronkowski has caught plenty of balls for Brady all the way back into training camp. He has proved himself versus coverage that he's going to catch the ball more often than not, and that's why Brady went back to him.
So, Dante, how do you think that Randy Moss makes this thing better? Dante,
for one,
you still there?
For one, you're going to have two people around Randy. That's for one now. That's
for
one.
Do you? At
not
this
anymore.
Point in his
that's
career?
For one. I mean, you're not, you ain't going to be able to jam out on people in the middle like that, man.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody's a deep threat like Price. They should have played him, man.
Right? Yes.
With that. I don't know what it is. Nobody ain't playing the Patriots, man, deep, man.
Right. No, we all agree with that. We all agree with that. The problem that, and I haven't ruled out Randy Moss, but a lot of people just think that he just can't play anymore. He's lost it, and you know he's a shadow of his self. You know, because we're all remembering the Randy Moss from 2007, and that was a while ago.
I'm not. I'm remembering the Randy Moss from last year, which is why I want Price. Also, you know, reeks of desperation, by the way.
Yeah. If you're not going to play right, I mean, Price, you might as well get Randy Moss. They're not giving him a try.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I tell you, it's better than what they're doing right now. You know,
you got that right.
But I think they should give Price a chance. So, what's going on back there? Where are you, Dante? You at work?
No, I'm at the house.
Okay.
But anyway, our offensive line is looking sort of shaky because Brady's getting a little bit paranoid sending it a little bit earlier for me, man. Yeah.
Yes, he anticipated the pressure, I thought.
Yeah.
He had
a
bad game on Sunday. He looked a little Tony Eason-like in the first half of that game, seeing pressure that wasn't there.
Yeah.
Well, if you got Ocho, I use him. I have my they're running just a slant, or I have him run a fly pattern every time he out there on the field. If they can't use him another kind of way, man, you want to use him to his strength. You don't want to just put him out there.
I know.
I mean, every time he make a mistake, he got to go out the game. That's just like playing basketball, man. You can't go out there and somebody get a foul, you're going to take him. Let the man get in a groove or something, a little groove or something. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah,
but how long
do you keep spending good money after bad?
I said this early in the season. I think that's the difference between here and Cincinnati. In Cincinnati, he knew he was going to be out on the field X number of plays, you know, 80% of the time. So if he missed the ball, he knew he was going to get another chance. Here, there's this pressure that everything has to be perfect. It's a whole different system.
But he created that pressure. It wasn't that way in training camp. Yeah. He was the top three. He was in there all the time.
But he looked okay in training camp.
Yeah. I thought he had a lot of drops. And then into the preseason,
we had no
drops.
Indication it was going to be like this.
Wait, this bad? This bad? No. This bad? No. But you can't say it looked good from the start.
No, it never looked good. And we assumed it would get better. It hasn't gotten better.
Everybody assumed it was going to get better.
Thanks for the call, Dante.
I'm not saying he dropped everything thrown his way. I'm just saying we had hints that it was bad. We just assumed, this is the early, the rust, the whatever.
Of more concern to me than the drops, of which there were many in training camp, were the constant meetings between Tom and Ocho.
Yeah.
Constant. You know, you said that, you know, it's like, and I agree with you, every incompletion is an event.
Right.
You can feel it. It's like a palpable, like, you know, in the stadium, you know.
And he's clearly grown frustrated.
That happened on every play that he was thrown to in the training camp, except for that it was training camp.
Right.
And there wasn't as much attention paid, but we all thought.
We used to actually ask each other,
he'll get better.
The who's not on the website.
We stopped.
Oh, we did Ocho, right? We shouldn't beat that
horse. We stopped.
Horse.
We stopped using Ocho because it was like beating up on
we
him.
We felt bad. Now it's accurate. He's still who's not 2.5 months later or whatever it is.
Which, by the way, I did the same thing on Sunday. I didn't use him as one of my not because at this point, you know,
I'd be like using Taylor Price again.
Yeah, it's
for who's hot?
It's just
for
so
who's not.
Weird.
Oh.
It's just so weird. Like, for example, the little rollout play that Brady had. Now, that was a design play because I saw him do that in the warm-ups. It was a little design play. And then, depending on how the defender is covering, the receiver has a choice. And in this play, what I think Brady wanted Ocho to do was like a backdoor play in basketball. He was fronting him, so he wanted Ocho to release and get behind him, and he was going to float it over his head. And instead, Ocho just kept going to the sideline, and you know Brady threw it long, and Ocho wasn't there. And I think that's the type of thing that. They feel that they're close, that all it took was a little bit of being on the same page.
All it took was a different read from Ocho.
Right.
The same thing it's taken for the last 8 weeks. When do you say he's just not going to get it?
Yeah.
He's not reading the same book that Tom is.
I didn't really understand that rollout play, but there were other plays that, you know, there was one that Andy jumped on immediately live. It was like a quick slant.
Right.
Where he kind of drifted and faded away.
It allows the guy to undercut it.
The defensive back did a beautiful job of diving around with the one-handed knockout.
Well, that happened in Buffalo.
Right. It's the
he
same
rounded
thing.
Out his cut. And the guy jumped the route and was an interception.
Even
post,
if it's incomplete, if you run the route right, you're between the ball and the defender.
Right.
You gave him the opening to get in there.
He ran that skinny post in the end zone, the back of the end zone, where it did look like he had a step. But where he was, I think, was well defended as well. Because it's almost impossible to get the throw in there because he can't continue to run. He's at the back of the end zone, whereas Brady could have thrown it, laid it out for him, and I think he would have run under it. But where he was, Brady had to drop it into him, and that allowed Corey Webster to make the play.
I think that one Brady has to throw sooner and on more of a line. But
maybe
Paul said
he was open on that.
I'm not going to throw it early to Ocho because I don't know what he's going to do. Yeah. I don't have any faith in him. Right. I don't have the faith that he's going to make a play and save me from making a bad play.
Yeah, I don't absolve Brady of all blame in this game because
I do with him.
He made some bad reads. He was off target. Yeah. There was one play where he looked to his right, saw nothing, and then immediately turned left and fired and didn't see the guy there.
Well, just, that was the same exact play as
interception
Buffalo.
As Buffalo.
That's our take
George
two
Wilson.
On the website today.
Yeah. George
he tries
Wilson's
to look off the safety and just throws back. And if he gets it over him, it's a completion. He puts too much of a straight line on it, and it gives the guy a chance to make a play. But same exact play as in Buffalo. There were a lot of – this is our take Tuesday today. A lot of similarities as in Buffalo with what Brady was doing and who he was going to. Welker and Gronkowski, you had two people that were basically receivers. In Buffalo, Hernandez didn't play. This week he played, but don't tell me he's not injured or nicked up or
you think dealing. So?
Yeah, he's not the same
he's
guy.
He's limited.
And he's not even playing as much.
Yeah. He's limited. He's doing a good job, though, Hernandez, because he's still, there was a play at the end of the first half right before Gostkowski missed the chip shot. Brady missed him there for a touchdown. I thought Hernandez was open in the end zone. And then he had a touchdown later that tied the game early in the fourth quarter. So I agree with Andy. Hernandez doesn't look right to me, but he's still finding a way to make some plays during the course of the games.
He's funny, though, because he catches the ball, and he just doesn't seem to be able to get his balance once he has the ball.
For an athletic guy, doesn't he always look like he's about to fall?
Yeah.
A little bit.
And then he gets hit, and he's spinning around and flipping
over. Well, it's hard to always cut to the inside no matter where you are, so sometimes he has to catch himself. I did enjoy his touchdown celebration, a new spin on the Making It Rain, where he dug up the money first out of the ground. It was the buried treasure and then made it rain.
All right.
Can I tell my Ocho Brady story
go
in
ahead.
The locker room?
Yeah.
This is just an observation from the locker room. I am making no assumptions based upon it. I was in there. I'm your eyes. Tom Brady came out of the shower wearing his Brady number 12 white bathrobe that he likes to wear that looks funny. And went over to his locker. And I was talking to Rob Gronkowski at the time, but I just happened to turn and watch. And he and Ocho chatted for 30 seconds, 45 seconds. Not heated, not an argument in any way, but not friendly screwing around either. Kind of a serious, I would say,
right.
conversation.
Business conversation.
Yes. And then Brady took all his stuff and went to the other side of the locker room to an empty locker next to Dan Gronkowski and got dressed in that locker. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if he just... I don't know. I don't want to lead anybody's observations. That's what I saw. And even some people that I was standing next to, I pointed to and they said, yeah, that's weird. I don't know why he went over there to get dressed. And then I also don't know why he put on white corduroys, which is a separate issue, but.
Yeah.
I just thought it very strange that he chose to take his bag, take his clothes, and dress somewhere else.
Yeah.
Not saying it's like when I sleep on the couch, but it could be like when I sleep on the couch.
All right. WebRadioPatriots.com. The phone lines are stacking up, so, let's go to them. LaShawna from Las Vegas. LaShawna, hey, how you doing?
How you doing, guys?
Yeah. Great. We like female callers. How you doing?
I'm hanging in here. I'm in Las Vegas. I'm at work, but I had to call in today because it was just bad. It was bad. But just from a woman's perspective, this is mental. And I don't want to talk about Ocho Cinco. Everybody knows what he is. We know what he was. We know what he will be in the future. That will be no help.
Oh.
Let's talk about Tom Brady.
Okay.
Now, this is a mental thing. This whole game, normally he anticipates where the player is going to be, and he throws the ball where he's going to be, not where he is. He kept doing it to Ocho, but Ocho is not Wes Welker. He's not on that level. So stop trying to make him be a Wes Welker. Just get rid of him. Put him on the sideline. I'd rather have Edelman, anybody. I don't care who's out there. Just don't put Ocho out there because he's not going to be that. I think the whole game for Tom Brady was pure. And we can have this conversation, Andy, because you're feisty. I like feisty guys.
Nice.
So, let's just talk about, it's Tom Brady. I don't want to hear nothing about defense, nobody else. He fell apart in that game mentally throughout the entire game, especially the first half. I didn't even see Tom Brady the first half.
It did have a look of that because I'll tell you, the one thing for me that always scares me with Brady, everybody can throw picks and make bad throws. It's when he starts throwing the ball errantly over the middle of the field. I feel like every bad game he has, it involves him just almost throwing it up for grabs in the middle. He had another one where he threw it and hit the linebacker right in the hand, and he was lucky the guy didn't catch it and make another pick. It's when he got hit, and he looked up. He looked up at the big board, and I said to Paul, he thought that was a pick six. He wanted to see if that guy was running into the end zone with the ball right now because he saw him at the last minute. And even, you know, the Baltimore game, the Jets game, I feel like every time he's going bad, he just throws the ball up for grabs in the middle of the field, and that's kind of the M.O. It's a bad day.
But they figured it out already. This is not game two and game three in the season. These teams have already figured out what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. We can't keep doing the same thing. It's like, okay, let's keep using the same tight ends. Let's keep doing the same thing. They figured that out already. We have to change it up. I'm not saying, you know, that Gronkowski is not going to get his catches because he can. There's nobody that can stop him. I don't care what team he plays for. He's just that good of a player to me.
Yep.
I'm saying that we have to change up the offense because we're getting late in the season. They're figuring this stuff out. They're shutting down certain players. Welker had a good game, but then Hernandez wasn't seen as much. You know, to me, it's just a breakdown in the offense. I can't really put it on the defense this game because they did.
No, absolutely.
You know, hold the Giants to no points in the first half. Yeah, they fell apart at the end. They've been doing that all year, though.
So is this a call for Taylor Price?
Definitely.
Thank you. Reach it, sister.
I think we're all on board there. That's the one
guy. Well, Bill's not and Brady's not. Well, the two people that matter, because even Bill O'Brien seems to be on board with us.
I think that's the one guy that has the skills that we're looking for.
Now, we know he can catch the ball, and we know, you know, we know he can get open, and we know he has speed. Give him a chance. Well, I feel like all we are saying is give Price a chance.
Oh, Jesus.
We are. I mean, I don't get it.
Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Oh, I'm on suicide watch again. The next 24 to 48 hours are critical for your friend.
Just so you know, I wouldn't look too far ahead on the schedule either, because that might push you over the
I know I have. Too late for that. That's why I'm on suicide watch.
I don't know if you know, they usually lose in New York.
Yeah, well, what do you got, Christian?
Well,
that was called foreshadowing for Wednesday's show for Fred.
I'm not going to talk about the draft picks and all that stuff because these are the guys we got. So
luckily, they're not draft picks.
I did that last week. These are the guys we got. These are the guys I got to play with. So you got to get Price out there, and I'm with you guys. Get rid of Haynesworth. Get rid of Ocho Cinco. It's time. It's 8 weeks. They haven't contributed one ounce to this team. Get rid of them. You're deep at defensive line now that you got Brace and Deidre back, okay? If Price comes and makes some plays, then you got him. Get rid of them. You don't need him.
Or you even have Edelman. I mean, we saw when they went late in the game, they went four wide receivers. Edelman was on the field as the fourth, right?
Yeah.
So,
yes.
I mean, they have some level of confidence in him, and he can't do much worse, and we know he's a guy that when he has the ball in his hands can make some plays.
Make stuff happen, yeah. I mean,
so give him a chance.
Yeah, do it. I mean, and that game Sunday, I never thought the defense would shut out a team in the first half, and on the flip side, I never thought the offense would get shut out in a half, in the first half.
Right.
And when I'm looking at the game, and I go, what? You've got to be kidding me. This defense is finally doing something that we wanted them to do all year. They're playing good.
Yeah.
And what's going on? And then
the defense gave you a chance to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's all we asked for them all year.
Right.
We didn't ask them to be the 70 Steelers.
Yeah, just slow them down.
Give them a chance and keep them in the game. And they did.
Yep.
So that's what's frustrating from my point of view. Is it was really frustrating on Sunday, but
the question is the Tom Brady and the offense we're seeing over the last couple of weeks, is that what they're just resigned to? Or
no.
Can you get back to early season? Because he's on record pace. He's gonna break his record for interceptions. 14 is his career high. Three times he's done it. He's got 10.
Yeah. Right. There's no doubt, and I think LaShawn hit on it. They've got to add a wrinkle because I think teams kind of know that we don't have to worry about the deep ball so much.
But
and I
why
think,
is this offense worse than Caldwell and Gaffney?
You know, I gotta sit and think about that.
I think
that,
so, because even when they lost with those guys, they lost by putting up 30. They didn't lose by getting shut out in the first half, right?
This was a weird game.
Wait a minute, but they lost that game against the Colts by putting up 30. You know, don't forget they had two kick returns in that game.
I know.
But for the most part, I don't think that offense was more productive than this one.
No.
I'm starting to think they're competitive, and I didn't think I would think that with these weapons.
If they have more games like
I'll tell you who's skating is Deion Branch.
Well, it's the last three
Everybody's
Sundays,
fixated on Chad Ochocinco, well, but Deion Branch is skating with his one catch a game, two catches a game for the last month.
He's a non-factor.
Chris Carter says he disappears in big games. Now he just disappears.
He doesn't have the speed to just get open when they need him to get open.
Oh, that was a good Burt Breer tweet. I don't know if you saw that. This talking to some scouts, the one thing that's glaringly evident is the Patriots lack speed.
Well,
as
I wrote that in my edit letter a week ago. They should have read that.
Yeah, but he talked to scouts.
Oh, I don't need to. I can
you also wrote that Gary Guyton was great.
No, I didn't say that. I said in that game he stepped up.
I like
when
Christian's
did.
Here to giggle a little in the background.
Actually, you know who played? I thought played pretty good in that game until he got hurt.
Spikes.
Of course he did.
Yeah. Spikes is the best player on the front right now, and the problem is Mayo's playing. Mayo had his big six assists. Big six assists. Let's dive on a pile and get six assists. There's your playmaker.
I think Spikes.
No tackles.
Spikes going out of that game hurt the Patriots.
It did. But it hurts even more that your all-pro linebacker doesn't make plays. You talked about it at the end of the game. They didn't have anybody to make a play. Eli Manning's running down the field. He's completing what he needs to complete. They need guys that can step up and make a play. They
need
don't
that Teddy
have them.
Bruschi who does something that
anybody,
makes
anybody.
Yeah, no, I
they
I
don't
hear
have
you.
That guy.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Christian.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for the call.
Can I spin something for the positive? Got a good note out of PR that if Welker gets 40 yards this Sunday, he has 960 yards to lead the NFL. Be just the eighth time that a player reached 1,000 yards in his ninth game.
His ninth game.
Isaac Bruce did it twice, by the way.
Yeah. I'm
just
kinda,
the eighth time, huh?
I'm kind of tired of these little...
I love those.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of
I'm
these
I'm trying
little,
to be positive.
No,
Fred.
I know.
Okay, I'll be negative.
I'm with Fred.
Wes Welker's production on Sunday, 9 catches for 136 yards and no touchdowns. The total production of Chad Ochocinco through 8 games.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That was pointed out. I saw
you
that.
You know, first time... Second, you know, one of only two times, but eighth time?
Only the seventh player.
All right, Olivier the from other Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
How's my, wait, where's my waffles? Oh, wait, you had to win.
did we win?
Son of a! I knew I was going to be mad at the Patriots for something. They lost, Fred. If not, Olivier's mother was going to bring me waffles.
Oh, wow.
Real Belgian waffles
we'll
from Belgium. Okay.
Forget the past. And the good news, I just came out of Patriots rehab.
Oh, already? Yeah? It only took that long?
Yes, it took me a couple of days just to
I'm still in.
To get rid of the pain.
I'm concerned you're going to have a relapse on Sunday.
Of course. I'm very concerned about it, too, but I know about it already, so it's okay.
So you're prepared.
I have a theory about Tom's behavior in the locker room after taking out of the shower and moving his stuff away from Ocho.
Okay.
I think the only reason why he moved his stuff away from Ocho is because Ocho stinks. Anyways, I'm sorry.
that was pretty funny, actually.
Thank you. I don't think Fred didn't like it, but
no,
sorry,
he doesn't care
I can't
for that.
Please, everyone.
He has no sense of humor.
Yes, I you know, we've been banging on the defense for a long time. I thought the defense played great. I think that they, we thought that they were a work in progress. I think they are making progress on a weekly basis. They played well for 57 minutes. Granted,
well,
but
they played well.
I don't think that
they played well
the
for 30 minutes. They gave up 24 points in the second half.
Yeah. But, I mean,
right?
They're getting tired and so forth. The team is designed for Brady to destroy people on a weekly basis and to score points. So with this mentality, you know, if Brady should have scored much more points, then we should have won that game.
We should
But do you guys think that there is a progress in the defense? I think the problem
Absolutely.
Is with the offense. But what do you guys think about that?
I guess you could spin minimal. It's not anything I'm really willing to put any emphasis on.
The defense played the first half as well as I think they're capable of playing, no question.
Yeah.
So that's a positive. But I can't just sit there and say, well, let's give them a pat. They got 24 points in the second half. I mean, 7 of them came on a turnover, the 10-yard line they
right.
go in. You know, so a little bit of a extenuating circumstance there. But, you know, 80-yard drive and an 85-yard drive to close it out. To me, it's another example of one of those total system failures. You lost the game because of the offense, much like the Super Bowl when Andy was arguing last week. You know, against the Giants, you ultimately lost the game because your offense didn't do what it normally does.
Right. Agreed.
But you can't just sit there and say, well, the defense only did this, so they're okay, when they took the field and let the other team travel 85 yards and 80 yards to win the game.
No, I know, but they should have been up by 2 scores
with the Jets missing, you know, all kinds of starters on offense, too.
Giants.
I'm sorry.
Hey, let's look
Giants.
At the good news. If we keep on losing, we're going to have a tough game on Sunday. We will know that unless we show up and play. Maybe the Eagles, you know, is going to be a tough one. You know, if worse comes to worse, you know, maybe this situation is going to force Belichick to become a better GM and to do much better picks and trades you know, when next year comes around. And well, maybe we'll have a great team for the following year.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Wasn't that the theory we were going with off of two straight playoff losses? They reloaded this defense. They were redoing, you know, he knew that they couldn't get by. I think the issue is he's trying, but he's making the wrong decisions. That's the issue.
Yeah,
I don't think he's like,
we got to get better at it.
Keeping anything in the back of his pocket for the future. He's trying, but he's not doing it correctly. He wasted money on some big name players, veterans this offseason that can't play.
Well, that's the thing. And you hope that, you know, even though Haynesworth didn't work out and even though Ocho Cinco didn't work out, you hope they don't shy away from free agency. You know, you want them to.
No, I want them to quit beating the bottom of the bushes. Your guy, Chris Carter, last night, this used to be the home for reclamation projects or whatever.
Right.
How about we just make it the home for good players?
You know what I want
to
stop doing?
How about we see a free agent, we go sign him? How about we see a guy that would fit our defense, we trade up and get him instead of trading down so we can get three Darius Butlers?
I want to stop trying to get the but guys. You know, the guy who was great, now it might just be good, but we can get him for a little bit less. Or, you know, some veteran guy who... you know, is looking for the ring or something. You know, it's always like, I understand what your point is, Freddie, about, you know, I hope it doesn't shy away, but I
just shy away from that.
I, you know, it goes back to
see Asante Samuel, sign Asante Samuel.
Yeah. You know, Julius Peppers a couple years ago, you know, and I always get mad when people say the Patriots are cheap because I don't think it's accurate. I just don't think
they blew a lot of money.
But my point is, they'll give Sean Ellis $4 to $5 million as a veteran defensive lineman, but they won't give Julius Peppers 20. I don't get that.
Well, that's a big difference.
Yeah, and you know what is a bigger difference?
The caliber of player.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think that Julius Peppers has lived up to what? Yeah, the
absolutely.
I don't know.
Did you miss last season?
Oh God!
Did you miss last season when he single-handedly transformed them?
When you can't ever prove that it was the wrong thing, because regardless of what the guy does, you're just banging your head against the wall.
No, I'm not
switching sides. Chicago stinks.
Chicago went to the NFC title game last year, and I think they're 5-3 this year.
Top 10 team in the Hart Wilson power rankings, too.
You know, I don't think Chicago's very good, but that signing is the least of their problems.
Let's go to an email. Travis from Collierville, Tennessee, and he's got a problem with everybody, including Mike Reese. He says Mike Reese is a homer with his know-it-all attitude and for always throwing New England sports under the bus. Well, isn't that kind of the opposite of being a homer? Anyway, he says, every time he gets a pick like this right with the Steelers and the Giants, just gives him a huge ego boost and enough credibility with the networks to keep him around for another year to make New England fans miserable. Pack your bags and get the hell out of town and take that Steeler lover Lindsay Petrucci with you.
Just so you know, he picked the Patriots to beat the Giants.
As for the Giant game,
I
was very impressed with the defense minus the two huge pass interference calls, the first on Arrington being questionable the way I saw it, and the lack of total...
Talking about homers.
And the lack of total D in the last 3 minutes of the game. It will be nice when both sides of the ball can show up together for the entire game. I've tried to stay optimistic about Ocho, but after seeing him Sunday, I really think he has to go. One of the plays I thought he really could have started to turn it around for himself was a 10 to 15 yard out in the second half when he took himself out of the play by disrupting his own timing with Tom with an offensive interference push off that wasn't called and wasn't even needed to get open. By the way, they show Tom talking to him after every time the ball is thrown his way. It seems that after 9 weeks, he still can't run the correct route. Kill the distraction and let's move on so we can get prepared for the next game and hopefully the playoffs. Everyone needs to back off the easy win. There's no chance we can lose. There's no chance we can lose comments about good teams. If what you say is true and the players do listen to PFW, you're killing the work ethic and motivation needed to get the job done, in my opinion. Oh, and as for the wetless dream homer, he just doesn't want to admit his dreams are with Mike Reese. That would be me, I guess, right?
Wow.
Wow. Well, Mike Reese picks against him. So he's not a homer,
but he didn't pick against them. He picked the Patriots to beat the Giants.
Yeah,
and actually this week he took the Jets because, speaking of homers, Brian Lowe ruined. We could have had another opportunity where we would have been the motivation for the team because everybody in the paper except Brian Lowe took the Jets. He took the Patriots.
Right.
Even Flip LaChance, the penny, took the Jets. This could have been another billboard material for them, bulletin board material. They could have put it up, but B. Lowe ruined it.
So I guess I honestly thought they were going to win.
I'm
this
not the
game.
Brightest guy.
I did too.
I honestly thought they were going to beat the Steelers.
Oh, I did.
You know, and
I thought that
was a difficult game, but I thought they would win both of those games. Absolutely. And I didn't pick the Patriots just because I'm a homer. I picked the Patriots because I thought they were going to win the games.
Right. Yeah, there was a difference for me. I was all in on the Giants. I was all in.
I thought the offense. In particular,
you could have suckered me into any bet you wanted last week.
Would have a good performance. I thought they would play much better.
Good news is, last week all the trends and the streaks and everything favored the Patriots. This week they all favor the Jets. You know, Brady hasn't played well down there. They've lost two in a row against the Jets in New York. Some of those things. You're on a two-game losing streak. The Jets on a three-game winning streak. All that favors the Jets. So maybe it'll fly in the face of those numbers this week, and the Patriots will be the one to break all those streaks.
Chris in Stamford says, hey, guys, well, at least the Patriots lost to the Giants, so we don't have to relive any horrifying memories. Oh, wait. Anyway, 2 points to discuss regarding how the Patriots have done Tom Brady a disservice twice this season. Once they saddled him with Chad Ochocinco, we've discussed the JG rule where wide receivers are either Jabbar Gaffney or Joey Galloway. I think we all know where Ochocinco sits now.
Yeah, but he's nice.
New England needs to negotiate with him or trade him. What he's doing on the field now and Brady's insistence on getting him involved just seems sad from this standpoint. I'd actually take a street free agent or, if possible, a healthy Taylor Price sprinting downfield 5 times a game over this situation. The other disservice, this defense. Not only does Brady have to be perfect every game and leave no time on the clock to boot, he also has no defense to practice against. How can he get good looks during the week? He used to stay sharp, passing against the likes of Ty Law and Rodney Harrison. Now he's got nobody. Maybe that's why they keep Ochocinco on the roster, because he looks good in practice. I don't know. I'm just hoping the Patriots can win more than they lose the rest of the year and maybe gain some momentum going into the playoffs. That's Chris from Stanford. We got a lot of calls lined up here. Let's turn back to the phones. We got Tim in Kansas City. Hey, Tim.
Timmy, you fraud.
Guys.
Hey, fraud. How are you?
Hi, Tim.
Hey, fraud. I have to call, and I was good. I got a visit this week from a guy that simply referred to himself as the ass man.
Okay.
And I wasn't sure what to make of it, but he told me, he bent my thumb back and told me I better call up and apologize to Andy and to never again refer to James again.
Keep your mouth shut. Mind your own business if you know what's good for you.
Exactly right. And he told me that if I ever bring up James again, he already saw me once, even out in Kansas City, that
he can end it.
I apologize.
Well
to
done.
You, Andy, 1,000 times.
No problem.
And I'll keep my comments to myself on that. As far as the game went, I think that I was talking to my brother after it. And in some ways, I'm encouraged. I think the team played better. It's a better, if you want to look at it, I think it's a better loss than the Pittsburgh loss, just because I think that there are things that we can fix. Whereas with the Pittsburgh loss, it was hopeless, I thought. You know, there were things there that I think were going to be a problem in the playoffs, and I just don't view the Giants in the same level as I think of the Steelers. But what do you guys think of that?
Yeah, I don't think it was the ass whooping you had in Pittsburgh.
No,
you got your ass
I don't
whooped.
Either, but I'm more upset. I'm more concerned than I was after Pittsburgh, just because of that. I don't think that you can rely on the defense to do anything better or even at that level on a consistent basis. And you still lost the game because your offense, to me, is showing itself to be defendable. And by the way, Bill O'Brien, speaking today, said, I don't necessarily agree with the notion that they need a deep threat. He was asked about that, and he said, I don't necessarily agree with that idea.
Well,
doesn't mean
Brady
anything.
Didn't either.
Post-game. Doesn't mean anything that he would say that. But
Brady
but
didn't either, and then he said, yeah, I'd like to have some big plays that would help the offense.
Well, I want to know, does it mean that he agrees they don't have one, but they don't need it, or that he thinks they have one, so they don't need it?
No, I think he's saying you don't need it.
Well, the tweet from Christopher Price says, I don't necessarily agree, end quote, with idea Pats are lacking a deep threat.
Ah.
But that's not a quote. That's Chris Price.
Right.
That part.
So now that's completely different. That would indicate to me that he thinks they have one. You know?
Yeah, and he thought Price was going to play more. What right. does he know?
Is there something else that I thought was interesting this week is that I think you would look at it, and I thought this before the game, with
with the way that the defense responded this week versus last week, I think you look at it and you think, well, Belichick, the coach, is doing a better job, maybe against the worst, you know, not as an accomplished offense. But so you look at that GM versus coach thing, and there's a question there. And I guess it's reared its head again with Spikes going down. If he's out, what are our options? Is there anybody available? Is there anything that we could even do? I mean, if Fletcher's out, Spikes is out, does that leave you with Tracy White, like it's at the end of that game?
Well, Guyton would be the next in line. Guyton would play every down, like he did a couple of years ago. I don't think that's ideal. And the other issue is you hope that Fletcher is getting closer, that he's feeling better, and maybe he can put a cast on and get back out there. I don't know. But you still have Guyton, who is in the regular rotation of linebackers, assuming he's healthy.
Which, again, I think puts doubt on the GM side of things. If that's our fallback, then it is. I understand that. But they're, you know, midseason, there's likely nobody out there available. I just think that, again, that's a problem. That's a concern going forward when if our depth gets to be that thin.
Well, if you consider Spikes and Fletcher to be two of your top four, five linebackers, I don't know how many teams can lose that and still feel great about the guy they're putting out there. Uh-huh. I mean, you only go so many deep at a position where you feel really good about the guy playing before you get to, he can play.
The problem at linebacker is the top of the depth chart's not all that impressive.
Yeah. Right.
Not necessarily the lack of depth as much as it is the guys that you rely on, to me, aren't dynamic players.
Yeah, Ninkovic should be your backup who's now having to play, except he's your starter. And he actually led your team in tackles on Sunday. But
I still can't get my mind around no unassisted tackles for Gerard Mayo in 72 snaps.
They're pretty bad.
One thing I thought he was a tackle machine.
Now he's not even that.
All right, Tim.
That's the problem.
Tim in Kansas
again,
City.
Again, I apologize to the ass man, and I will talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for the call, Tim. Let's go to Brian in Brighton. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for holding on.
No problem. Empty barrel here, Fred. Empty barrel.
Empty barrel.
So I want to just go off, and then I want to take everyone off the ledge a little. But I am livid about the stuff I'm seeing about Albert Haynesworth. I mean, just livid. I mean, this is a $40 million guy. I mean, what? WTF. I mean, I'm baffled. How can someone make that much money? Be that demand, like, be the most amazing free agent at the time when he was out there and turn into this?
He's not turning into anything. He's the same guy he was at Tennessee, same guy he was with the Titans, and same guy he was with the Redskins.
That's the worst. The worst indictment on this is he hasn't turned into anything. This is what he is.
Okay, and my Homer blind eyes were looking at it like, no one understood him.
Right.
Or he's gonna change back to wanting to be elite. But I mean, it's clear. Like this is. He's the indictment of why. I mean, he was the reason I looked at this defense and I said, we got Wilfork and we got Haynesworth.
No, I agree.
What more do you need?
I know. I fell into that trap. I was right there with you, Brian. I looked at, you know, what could be, and I was just, you know.
The man is motivated by money. That's it. That's why he plays football. Not because he loves football. He plays because he loves money.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got his money. There's no incentive.
Go play on your boat, Haynesworth. Go play on your boat.
Wow.
Now, I want to talk about one thing, though, to talk us off the ledge. I mean, I was with you guys in the pregame social. I thought we were going to win. I did. You guys, I eat up everything you guys say. You guys are hilarious.
Thank you.
But what I'm wondering now, and because you said this before, Paul, too, I don't agree with your statement that 9 times out of 10, we win that game that nobody wants to talk about. I think it's pretty much been proven right there by this game on Sunday that I think it's 5 times out of 10. I think that they have the perfect setup to go against Brady. They've got a great athletic, fast defensive line, and that just eats Brady up.
Wait, I'm a little confused though. I'm talking about 2007. 9 times out of 10, that team wins the game. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and I'm saying.
I think in 2007, I stand by my statement. I think that defense was good enough to that should have been expected to close that game out. This team would not beat the Giants 9 times out of 10 times. I don't.
But
I
feel like it's a similar.
No, this defense stinks. This is, you know, Andy and I had a big argument at the start of the season, and Andy said after I think 2 weeks that it's the worst defense in the Belichick era, and I laughed at him. Well, you know what? 8 weeks later, I'm here to say I was wrong.
But what I think Brian is talking about more is Giants against Brady. He thinks
they scored enough points to win.
No, but he thinks that's why he thinks
I don't think
they have the recipe to beat Brady.
Well, why 6 weeks earlier did that same team put up 38 then?
Who?
The same team 6 weeks prior put up 38 against that team that supposedly had the recipe to beat Brady.
Yeah, but they also
9 times out of 10 they score 30 points and blow that team out. In 2007 now, not in 2011. This is a different offense and a different defense. So I would agree with you wholeheartedly about now, but I just think that the Patriots didn't play well that day, and the Giants did. The Giants deserved to win, absolutely.
Okay, right. I mean I don't know. I just feel like. I mean, this was a disappointing loss, and I'm scared as hell. I'm scared of Philadelphia. I mean, they're going to be fighting for their season as well, and so forth. But, I mean, I just feel like, you know, maybe we don't give the Giants enough credit. I mean, this was a solid win on their part, in my opinion. I mean, they just, it was a last-minute run. I mean, as soon as we scored and went up, I was anxious. And I also want to say, though, in terms of the defense, like you were bringing up the yardage, you know, they gave 80 yards, 85 yards. I don't know. To me, it was a little less, and I know it sounds weird to say, even myself, that was like 65 yards in penalty.
Yeah, but they would have given up those yards had they not caused the penalties.
Well, I guess so, but it didn't torture me as bad as Pittsburgh.
Well,
Pittsburgh game was just
as Pittsburgh. With Pittsburgh, they got dominated.
But Brian, the 35-yard interference on Arrington, Manningham was wide open on that play. If he doesn't commit interference, it's a 35-yard completion.
Oh yeah, it was, and the
last one was about 20 yards, right? So, you know, down the end, it was after Manning scrambled to the 20 or so. So that play, Sergio Brown just steamrolled Victor Cruz.
Terrible.
So,
it was terrible.
I mean, you can say they didn't allow the plays, but I agree with Fred. They would have allowed the yards if they didn't commit the penalties.
I know. It just wouldn't have hurt so bad. I hope it's not not politically correct to say it was Chinese water torture with Pittsburgh. I mean, just watching them. Ding, ding, ding,
it's
ding.
True. It was death by a thousand cuts. This was death by a couple.
Yeah.
But they were big ones. Yeah.
You know.
All right. Thanks for the call, Brighton. Brian from Brighton. Let's go. Jeff has been hanging on. Jeff from Vegas.
El Jefe.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you from Vegas?
We're doing pretty good.
You were right. I was wrong. I'll start off the bat. Although I will say, for a scoreless game, I got pretty close to my over.
Yeah, you did, Andy. That got a little bit frightening there at the end on a lot of different levels. And just regarding the previous caller, what if they just run a little bit of clock there on the goal line? I think like that Whithead play when he sort of stayed in bounds, I was hoping they'd run the clock a little bit and not leave Eli with so much time.
Well, a lot of people were saying that, but, you know, I think that, you know, you get
they scored on 4th and 8.
Right. You kind of, you know.
They couldn't dictate how fast they scored.
I was going to say, you're using like old school logic that they could do absolutely anything they wanted with a team that was on their last-ditch effort. That's what I said to Paul, is even you get the go-ahead touchdown, it didn't feel right. When does this team have drop, 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 and then they get it on 4th down? Usually you feel like they're controlling the game at that point. I didn't really feel like that.
Yeah, and I understand that you got to get the points there. It just seems like the Patriots have been on the wrong end of that. Like in Buffalo, like they run the clock down against us, or the Steelers run the clock out. We score quickly, and we leave the other team too much time. Anyway, though, before I rip Andy too much for his pick, speaking of ripping, my old whipping boy, Kevin Collins, I know it was nationally chronicled that he arrives at work at 4:30 a.m. on game day.
Yeah.
Right. But I think NFL Network's going to do a football life on him. So.
Exactly. There's another employee, Eric with a K, Negativino, was up tweeting at the crack of dawn on game day.
Well, he does get up early.
Yeah, and he actually beat Mike Reese. Speaking of Mike Reese, and again, what does it come to? We got Patriots fans ripping Reese.
Yeah, that's when you know it's bad. It's one thing to ask for Brady to lose reps. It's another thing to be ripping Mike Reese. That's when you know the sky is falling in Patriots Nation.
Exactly right. Eric actually beat Reese when Eric had that Bradshaw and Knicks were out. He actually, that's the first time I've seen someone tweet something like that before Mike. But then Eric went on to like ruin the moment with his pompousness, or he might say like pomposity, when he someone like invited him to a bachelor party in Vegas via Twitter, and Eric's like, "Oh no, you know I'm going to be in Africa, so I can't make it out there."
I caught that.
Yes, Andy. He's a clown. Andy was quick to pounce on that.
Jeff, when we get to the Meadowlands, when we get to New Jersey on Saturday, I'm immediately going to go to the press box and shoot a picture of you from the press box for Twitter so that I can beat Mike Reese.
I don't know that you'll beat him there.
You won't.
Well, so I tweeted back that he's like a Renaissance man, but the autocorrects or a change that around to like resonance man, like resonate. So Eric like jumped all over me correcting me.
That's what he does.
So I made the comment that, hey, at least when I'm wrong, like Andy Hart, I admit when I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that got a huge, huge sarcastic reaction from the Twitter universe.
That's what should have happened. The next time Andy Hart admits he's wrong, we'll be the first.
But even
just now, I almost got my over.
I did. A 0-0 game. I thought he had no shot, and all of a sudden the shootout erupted in the second half.
Exactly. Back to ripping Andy about being wrong. I mean, I can be sitting in this pile of money, which I am in Vegas, giving out the Giants and the under, but what good is it if it can't buy a New England Patriots win?
Right.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And,
well, I would cash the check all the same.
Yeah, I hear you. And incidentally, guys, Twitter's just blowing up. I mean, we're having a lot of fun. Eric and Andy, I've noticed, are tweeting a lot. We've got all these UK people on Twitter, I think, at Lynn Patriots. I got I eat in there, some great Twitter people.
Yeah.
And we just want to build a massive network of New England Patriots fans out there.
That's right, Patriots, PPGS.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Jeff from Vegas calling in.
We'll talk to you Sunday. Jeff. Be interested.
Yeah.
From what I saw, it's +1 Patriots right now.
Is that right?
Is anybody surprised by that number?
Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't know if I'm surprised the same way you were. I thought the Jets would be favored by like 4.
Absolutely.
4.5. I thought it would be at home plus one.
At very least 3.
Yeah, I thought it would be a little bit more.
It opened at a pick 'em.
I thought it would be better. So are you surprised, Fred?
That's because the Patriots never lose 3 in a row.
Are you surprised? that's a good line, but are you surprised?
Yes, I am. I would have said Jets by 3.
Yeah, I was very, very surprised to see that opened up at a pick 'em. Shows you just how much, you know, for all the stuff that we say about the Patriots don't get any respect, and how much that's wrong, and how much respect that they do get, because
that they've earned.
Oh yeah, you know, I mean, they have absolutely earned it. But there are a lot of teams around the league right now that are in a similar kind of situation. They're kind of inconsistent, struggling to find their rhythm, and they're not getting, you know, they're not road favorites teams with the same record.
Right, Giovanni from Chandler, Arizona. It's an absolutely terrible feeling to be excited, yelling, and high-fiving 1 minute, to so terribly distraught only moments later. Imagine my emotions were a person. They would be standing on top of the most beautiful mountain and gazing at scenery all around, not a care in the world. Then someone runs up behind them and pushes them off. They fall thousands of feet and splatter to the ground. Their body is lying on the road, broken and unattended, and suddenly a truck drives by and runs them over, adding to their already deadness. When I see NFL Deadness. And ESPN headlines saying that Eli outplayed Brady, I just want to go nuts. Eli will never be half the quarterback Brady is or ever was. Also, I love curse words. What you do is great, Freddie, and I thank you for it, but I can't deal with the fans on there. They are just miserable, miserable, hopeless people. As always, Andy is awesome, Ken Walter rocks, and the entire city of New York can burn in hell.
Wow.
So there you go. You know, it's the owner. There's two ownership groups for
Ooh,
the
Giants. Yeah,
for
I have a story
Giants.
About that.
Why don't you tell that?
Oh, wait, what?
Tell your story about the elevator, right?
Did you already tell them about this?
I guess, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought you had maybe had a separate story. Yes, we had to wait twice at the elevator because after every game, we're waiting for it to go down. There's only one elevator here in the press box, takes you down to the field level, get to the locker room. And occasionally, security leads the other ownership group through. Well, they did that. Boom, ownership, okay, let them through. And they were nice. Some owners asked that no one gets on the elevator with them. They allowed people to get on with them. They went down.
Very nice. Now, obviously, but, they just won the game,
right,
too.
But then 2 seconds later, ownership, let them... Wait a minute, you just had...
And both of them were big groups.
Right, they both had entourages, they both smelled like alcohol,
oh my
and were
God,
drunk
like
beyond
they
belief.
They drank the stadium.
But I got in with the second group, and I don't actually know enough about the two fam. I don't know which group I was in with. So I was in with one of the...
I don't either.
...ownership groups from the New York Giants, and they're going, Eli, that's elite right there, baby. He's elite. It's official. He's elite. And I was this close to wanting to say,
I said,
no, he's not.
I said to Mike Giardi, he goes, he's... He didn't say Eli. He just goes, he's elite.
Oh, yeah, he's elite.
He goes, he's elite. And I leaned in to Mike Giardi. I said, yeah, I agree. Brady's pretty good.
And I wanted to say, no, you pay him like he's elite. You've been paying him $100 million forever now, and he's finally made a couple plays for you. Was he elite when he was throwing a bad pick in the end zone to Kyle Arrington? Did that look elite?
Do you still not think he's a top 10 quarterback?
I'd have to go. I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback.
That wasn't an argumentative question, more so as
Rodgers,
it was.
Rodgers, Brady, do I count injured players or no?
Peyton Manning counts.
Okay, so Rodgers, Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger, Schaub.
Schaub is better than Eli Manning.
Yes. Rivers, despite his season.
Vic?
No.
No.
I put them in the same category. Sometimes they look good, sometimes they look bad. I don't trust either of them with my offense. Your boy Stafford, when he plays, is better.
Stafford's terrific. A lot better than Matt Schaub.
Isn't he the guy that wanted to trade for Schaub 2 years ago now?
See,
boy, does he move on for the guys he wants to trade Brady for quicker than anyone I know.
See,
you misinterpreted my answer.
You absolutely do. The trade about Brady is about the future. I know I'm not trading for a player that's in Tom Brady's caliber. I'm looking for a young, talented quarterback to take the reins someday.
I need a poster or something. Look at all the teams. I got 7 that are better than him right now.
He's in the top 10.
He might be. He might be in the 9-10 range.
And this individual season...
Now, he's battling with Castle.
In this
guys.
Individual season, he's been a top 5 quarterback.
I don't know about
in this that. Individual season. You take Manning out. You take Rivers out.
You take Rivers
right. out.
You know, this individual... In 2011,
well,
he's been a top
Tebow?
5 quarterback.
Tebow.
Right.
Tebow,
He thinks that Matt Castle is better than Eli Manning.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, Andy Dalton, Cam Newton. I forgot about the young guys.
Let's go to Adam in Connecticut. Hey, Adam, you've been holding on for a while. Thanks for holding on.
Andy Dalton, Eli Manning, same.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
I'm in a car right now, so I apologize if I can't hear you too well, but I got a quick story and a question real quick, all right?
Okay.
What?
Funny guy. Anyways, I was watching the game with my wife and my son, and after a play in which the Giants got some good pressure, she goes, "Why can't the Patriots do that? I think they need to fire the defensive coach. Who is he?" I go, "Well, it's essentially Belichick." She's like, "Really? I thought it was the head coach." "Yep, that's who." She goes, "Well, why can't they get pressure like the Giants can?" "Well, that's because of personnel, essentially." "Well, they need to fire the personnel guy. Who's that?"
It's a great story.
This is like a skit.
That's Belichick, too. She's like, "Are you serious? He does all that?" "Yeah, and he controls the offense a bit, too." "Wow. Shouldn't he hire some help? Isn't that a bit much for one guy?" Like, that's what the guys on the podcast I listen to are saying all the time.
Yeah.
Out of the mouths of babes.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's from a person that doesn't know anything about football.
Well, sometimes, you know, you need that
outsider's perspective.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
No question.
We're too close.
All right.
Fred.
And the quick question. I know when was the game that Brady was getting his elbow checked out on the sideline? Was that the Oakland game?
I wanted to say Dallas. Wasn't that a home game?
It was a home game.
Yeah.
I wanted to say Dallas.
And do you think that it has anything to do with the offensive play as of late with the past couple games and how they've been kind of stagnant and his accuracy has been off a bit?
Well, you know,
not really. In
the warm-ups.
He's hurt. That's the problem.
In the warm-ups in this game, he was rifling pass after pass, like in rapid succession. And I looked at that and go, oh, Brady looked good today. You know, because he was really firing the ball. And
Jinx Kirsch, you know, over here.
There was thought we're better off with Eric doing the updates than Fred.
But there was no indication of him, like, saving himself for the game.
Did you change that opinion when he had that pass that bounced about 6 yards in front of the receiver?
I don't know, which is definitely
a top five pass and the worst ones that he's ever thrown.
Even Bill, did you see he was asked about, was there anything mechanically fun? And it's not like he couldn't get his grip or something, because he probably thought people were thinking of that exact play where it looked like he lost his grip or couldn't hold on to the football and threw a Tim Tebow-like duck 5 yards short.
No, that I think that just stuck to his hand. You know how that happens.
Can I ask a serious question?
Second guess.
I'm going to ask.
That's
a great
call, Adam.
The story is one of the greatest stories ever. Along those lines, quick aside, somebody tweeted me, they're from Europe, one of our European fans, that they had a friend watch the game for the first time, first NFL game they ever watched, and they finished the game, and the guy goes, I thought the Patriots were good. But a serious question. Tom Martinez is no longer with us, right?
He's with us. But
oh, he is?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on his deathbed, but then he got better.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then
I don't
have
to ask questions.
Matter
of fact, he met with him early in the season.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was because it was going to be like the last meeting.
Yeah. No, again. Since
it sounded that way. But
I thought Oakland they met, and that was going to be the final meeting.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
So we can turn to him, though. Okay.
Well, his prognosis is better,
Brady's not playing well right now. So I thought this might be the first time he'd have to turn to somebody else other than Tom Martinez, but he can get a quick meeting in.
Sure.
Not quick. I mean, hopefully it's not quick. Hopefully he can get more meetings.
Okay.
You know what I meant there? It didn't come out right.
I do. You made it worse by saying, well, no, not quick.
Well, I don't want to say he's got to get it in before the guy kicks the can this week. Hopefully he gets a miracle and he lives forever.
Yeah, he claims that he's doing much better. So hopefully he's right.
Because we need him.
Herman writes in, Eli Manning has a horseshoe stuck in his ass as it pertains to my Patriots. Fine. I know that we Patriots fans can't rightfully complain given our success since 2001, but screw that. This is sports. I'm tired of being relevant. I want to win another Super Bowl. That said, when do we pull back on all the genius talk about Coach B? We haven't even had a mediocre defense in the last 3 years. I would throw my mother off a bridge to be ranked 16. And I hate Eli Manning's face.
We always have to hate a Manning face. Peyton's not around, so let's go Eli.
Brett from Brockton. Yes, Fred, my dad always said an empty barrel makes a lot of noise, meaning the idiot, empty barrel, talks the most, makes the most noise, while a smart person, a full barrel, listens. Getting back to the Patriots, why can't Kraft hire someone to work with Belichick on his draft picks, with Belichick keeping final say? I think Belichick needs someone to give him a counter-argument when it comes to players of value.
Me.
Have a good show, Fred, you empty barrel. So.
He just said you're stupid.
Yeah. Robin in Alaska, I don't think the Patriots can cut Ocho yet. He's not being a distraction. He's supposedly doing everything he can to prepare. And now when he is getting more open, Brady is slumping. Cutting Ocho now would taste like scapegoating to me.
Well, that's an interesting question because we know Bill likes him. And my guess is Brady kind of likes him. He just doesn't like working with him on the field because it doesn't work out. But does that make it hard? I mean, it's easy to cut a guy if you think he's a jerk and he's not playing well, like Ocho. Haynesworth. If you think he's a jerk, he's not trying, plus he's your 50, cut him. Sure, easy. No decision. But if you really like Ocho, isn't that hard to do? You brought him in. You brought him in a short off season. You know, he's trying hard. It's just not. I think it's hard to just cut ties with a guy like that and say, get out.
But I do think.
Joey Galloway looked like more of a jerk. He looked like he bristled at the fitting in.
Yes.
Ocho
I know what
seems
you mean.
Like he's trying.
I know what you mean. And I agree to a point, but here's where I separate.
Business is business.
And I like the way, I forget the U Miller's name, but I like what she termed scapegoating. There's an element of that. I think that's a very good term for that. He hasn't been so disastrous that he would normally get. He's a third or fourth receiver. You know, he's not. But here's the thing.
But he's different.
He's
Ocho.
Yeah.
We talk about you can't have him an inactive player. It hurts the team.
That's it in a nutshell. You can't. A guy like this would be one of your healthy scratches.
Right. But you can't.
But you can't do that. So that's why it makes it a different situation. Because his production, he doesn't play special teams at all. You know, so.
Maybe you should let him.
You have Edelman, Slater, Price, right, as like your, you know, extra receivers that don't really have a part in the offense, a role in the offense. They all can play special teams. Edelman and Slater are big parts of your special teams.
And the guy Price, who doesn't play the most Price is has inactive the most.
And Price has the ability to play special teams. Whether or not he would be one of your returners, who knows? But he has the ability to do. Chad Ochocinco cannot give you anything but snaps at wide receiver. He would be a healthy scratch for you right now.
What
if
you make
if his name wasn't Chad Ochocinco?
That's make him true. A gunner. Give him a chance.
Yeah. The most interesting Patriots fan in the world writes in, James Pettigrew. He says, ugh, what a terrible game. Felt like it was the last game of the season and both teams were in the Andrew Luck sweepstakes. On a brighter note, my positive is that Super Bowl teams get hot towards the end of the season. The way I look at it, we're getting cold just at the right time.
That is a good positive.
Yeah.
And that is true. I think this year, as much as ever, somebody's going to get hot at the right time. And it may not necessarily be, you know, the Ravens or the Steelers. It may be somebody you're not necessarily thinking of that gets hot.
I get something to cheer you up, Andy. You know how you like 1 o'clock home games?
They changed the Colts game.
Yep.
Nice. Bop, 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 bop. Nope. 1 o'clock.
I waited all weekend for 1 p.m.
Good. Mitch is, we got a tough stretch coming up.
Of what?
Games. We got two night games saddled in between
it's
the.
Funny I look at these differently when on our new PPGS schedule.
Next two games are night games.
Right.
I'm looking forward to this week's dinner time PPGS with Paul and Andy. Oh. Actually, both next two weeks, right? 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
Sit down, have dinner, and talk football with Paul and Andy.
Mitch writes in, he's looking for a little honesty. He says, let's face it, we have no pass rush.
Fred, let us handle this then.
I am tired of everybody, including media, ignoring this. This is Bill's fault 100%. We have passed over too many opportunities in the draft, period. Defense, we all act like we have some high payroll defense that should be stopping all offenses. Cut the ones that are worth anything. Trade, release. Geez, we have what Bill has created on defense. Young, inexperienced, but some promising, and a half dozen 10-plus-year-old retreads. Come on, be honest. We have Vince, McCourty, Chung, and only two of which are playing fairly well. What happened to all to the always talked about O-line? We cannot even protect our most precious commodity. Give the guy, Tom, a break. He cannot always win the games for us. He does make mistakes, but he's allowed to. Might as well pick off the street after looking at these last two games. I bleed Patriot red, white, and blue, and this is ripping my heart out. We need to make some smart moves in this upcoming draft and have the input of others in management and coaching.
Andy.
Bill is spreading himself too thin. Many saw this coming. We need some type of intelligence shakeup,
Andy.
Or we can flush this season away. This has been slowly building for 3+ years, and let's shake up this junior high playbook, okay? And everything was in capital letters, so Mitch is very upset, because when you write in capital letters, that means you're really, really upset.
Well, have we whistled past the graveyard of the defense? I think we've been pretty open with they're not that good, and the guys that are paid to be good, I talked about the core three of Wilfork, Mayo, and McCourty, don't make plays.
Well, he just mentioned Wilfork, Chung, and McCourty.
Yeah, he left Mayo out.
And two of the three, only two of the three have done it. Well, which two? Because I'm not leaving anyone on that defense blameless. I mean, McCourty has been the worst of those three, but I don't think Wilfork and Chung have been exceptional.
Nope. Oh. I'm still trying to figure out how Mayo wasn't included
Wilfork,
in your core.
Wilfork's come on. I think he
Wilfork's a good player.
Yeah. He's
but I don't like I said, I don't leave him blameless. Kyle Love has done to me as much as Wilfork has
I like
done this
Kyle
year.
Love. I've always been.
You have been a big Love supporter.
Yeah.
I love Love.
Eldridge.
Yeah, I'm all about love.
Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing good. Well, okay. Not so
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I'm doing so. I'm listening to y'all on my computer.
Nice.
Yeah, but I got to agree with that caller. Bill needs some help. He needs some help bad. He might be a genius, but like Roger Harrison said Sunday night, I'm doing NFL finals. It's already be a genius if you got the players, but if you ain't got the players, the scheme don't work.
He said that? I missed that.
Yes, he did.
Wow.
That's a pretty good paraphrase. I heard the comment. I agree with Eldridge.
He's off the Christmas card list.
But, you know, there's also an element, I think, that some of the players, and I'm not saying that Rodney's doing this, I'm not saying Teddy Bruschi does this, but I think that some of those guys are intentionally doing this because there was a bristling, if you recall, Andy, in that locker room when all they ever heard, those players, was how much of a genius their coach was. And the waiver wire team that won the Super Bowl, and the players didn't seem to get a whole lot of credit for it. And I think there's an element of that right now with some of these guys. Maybe we were a little bit better than everybody thought back then.
Yeah,
because he's doing all the same schemes, and he's just as innovative as he always was, and he's as brilliant with his game plans. But when he doesn't have the players to execute, he's getting beat.
But I want to defend Bill Belichick a little
bit. I can't believe that.
Rodney,
he wasn't bashing Bill. He's just making a statement.
No, but
yeah, I'm with you Eldridge. I heard him.
But I can.
He wasn't bashing.
Understand the players being like a little bit upset that all the media does is talk about Bill Belichick. But I don't think that's Bill Belichick's fault.
One's saying it's Bill Belichick's fault.
I don't think Bill Belichick comes out and says, I'm a genius. People call him that, but I don't think he said, I am.
People like you.
I think he's a sorry GM. He can't pick players. Those value picks, they are not giving no value. And McCourty is the worst he's playing this year than I have seen. And didn't that play when Manningham caught that touchdown in that left corner remind you of Burgess and Hobbs? In Super Bowl?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Except Hobbs fell down.
Yeah.
Did Hobbs fall down on that play? People keep saying that. I've heard that a million times this week.
He stumbled.
He didn't fall down. He bit for the inside fake.
He was flat-footed.
Yeah.
He was flat-footed.
And by the way, a lot of people have said that, too. It wasn't a fade. It was like a square out. It was like a seven route. Wasn't it like a seven route?
They called it a slug-o. He faked the slant, and then he went to the outside.
Slant and go?
Slug-o. Okay, so it wasn't a fade.
Nope. But one more thing is that Bill O'Brien, that little comment he made that he don't think we need a deep threat, that's probably why he don't know how to do no second half adjustments.
Eldridge, we need to clarify because I'm not sure he said we don't need one. He might have said he doesn't think we're lacking one, which means he thinks have one.
Well, we know we don't have one, so either way, it's not a very good comment.
Right, but it could be worse that they think they have one and they don't.
I mean, I'd like to see a stat on this. What is the longest pass that they've completed this year in the air? Not the 99-yard catch by Welker. The longest.
It might have been Ocho's that he dropped in the Bills.
I'll bet you it was Slater on opening night. That was the longest pass traveled that was caught all year.
Yeah,
that was
46 yards or something like that.
Yeah, you probably.
And I bet you the next one is like 25.
I think Welker's got a couple legit 30s in there. A 34 deep in Buffalo, I think. He came way across. Sorry, go ahead.
One more thing, I'm going to let it go. I think Ocho Cinco is a $4 million roster spot waste. Okay, why not cut him, let him go? Because last week they were saying they're going to give Taylor Price a chance. Didn't see him Sunday in the game. And I'd be trying to get Randy back, to be honest with you.
Well, you're not alone.
I'd be trying to get Randy back because
Fred's with you.
After 9 weeks, you got to know something. You know what I mean? After 3 weeks, you got to know something because you're practicing with Brady every day.
I do know on that rollout play, Randy Moss would have known what to do. So
what did he do? I mean, how do we know that Ocho did something wrong on that play? There was three guys around him. He wasn't anywhere near to being open.
He could have released and just fade and Brady.
Released to where? There was guys all around him.
He could have lofted it right over the top there.
That's another play that I saw
differently. He just headed to the sideline.
He
stopped and jumped.
I didn't see that play as having a sniff of a chance to succeed. That was a poor play all around.
Now, it may not, poor it might design. Not have been in the right spot. I have no idea what he was doing. I give Brady the benefit of the doubt there because Ocho has proven nothing in this offense. But
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Brady ain't got no faith in him.
Nor should he. He's done nothing to earn it.
He's a roster spot. He's a roster spot waste.
Yeah, but that's not Brady's decision. If he's on the field, he's got to try to use him. But I'm with you.
He made no catches.
Time for Price. Price is right.
All right, Eldridge. Thanks for the call.
Off the news wire. Last week we had Peter King's midseason All-Pro team that included Brian Waters and Wes Welker. The Pro Football Weekly All-Pro team is out, and don't spend much time reading it because there's no Patriots.
Okay.
Steve Smith and Calvin Johnson, in case
Wes
you're wondering.
So Wes Welker doesn't get on it?
No.
I'll repeat. Steve Smith and Calvin Johnson, in case you're wondering why Welker wasn't there. Those were the two picks by Pro Football Weekly.
Okay. Maybe they watched the 2 weeks before this week, the two sixes for 40 yards or whatever.
Freddie and I talked at the beginning of the show. I don't think we did it on air. Dante Stallworth out there now. Is he a guy you would consider bringing back? I would much rather have him back than Randy Moss.
I would. Yep. He's got a little bit of speed.
He had a lot of bit of speed. I don't know if he still has it.
I
don't know if he still has it, but he could run.
Didn't he have a major injury?
No, he had the big traffic accident.
Yeah.
Yes, I know
he hasn't had any major injuries since the Patriots.
I thought he had some sort of foot or heel injury.
Oh, maybe.
So you might be right.
Fred, what did you make of the Lee Bodden tweet?
Oh, the one where he says you're going to be lame?
Two more months of being lame?
Well,
Patriots or not Patriots?
Geez, I don't know.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Probably not. I mean, there's literally a billion things it could have been about, and just the one is that you could read it as it was about the Patriots. I doubt it. Although I think he's the type of guy that could do and say something like that.
Well, that might be an indication of why he's not here anymore.
True.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean his statement's not true either, that he tweeted, if it is about the Patriots.
Let's go to Tim in Pensacola. Hey, Tim.
Timmy.
Hey, Fred. I usually start out the conversation with saying how it's an honor to speak with you. This isn't really against you. I'm just really, really angry. I got one positive, one negative, and then I have to comment on something you guys commented on a couple of weeks ago that I want to call you out on. You don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but I just
okay.
I would let it go, but I'm ticked off right now, and I'm ticked off at everything in the world. One, our defense. I know a lot of people are not going to like this. Me saying this, I think the defense showed improvement, with the exception of number 31. And I think we should. Someone said this on the post game show, and I agree. We should retire that number because nothing but bad things have come from 31 in recent memory. As far as the offense goes, this is the negative. Who's the deep threat? Price can't get on the field. If you stacked our wide receivers, now I'm not saying we have the worst offense in the league. We have a very good offense, a above average offense, but I'm sure speed for speed, you match our wide receivers with the other guys, we would get killed. We are probably the slowest offense. So I don't know where this mysterious speed person comes from, but Fred, I'm with you. Nice. Call up Randy Moss.
Yeah. Too bad he's not fast anymore either.
I thought we were looking to increase speed.
Price is
you gotta get,
fast.
Hey, you got to get a dynamic speed guy.
A healthy scratch.
He, no. He had a hamstring this week.
But if it's not Price, you got to get somebody that's a dynamic speed guy. Randy Moss isn't that guy. He's not. Well, I watched him last year. He's not that guy anymore.
Well, anyhow, and then I'll let you guys go after this point, but usually I wouldn't say anything, but two losses in a row have put me in a dark place.
Yep.
A couple of weeks ago, one of you guys, and if it's Fred, I forgive you. If it's anyone else, screw you, said that we people who voted for Obama were idiots. He accomplished more than that idiot Bush ever did.
I wouldn't ever have said it. I love Obama.
It definitely was not.
You are wise. I'll let you go. I got to get back to this paper, guys.
I'm not going to get involved in politics, but that's a very ignorant statement.
All right.
It was definitely not Fred, though, because Fred is a full-bore, in-the-pocket Obama supporter.
You got that right, and I'm proud to say it. All right, let's go to some more emails.
By the way, hey, quick tweet.
Go ahead, Andy.
Stallworth broke his foot. Maybe that's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Not that major a deal, though.
Well, no, broken
foot. No, recently, in 2010.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, that's not a lasting, well.
No, it's a broken bone. You'd rather have broken bones than ligaments.
Well, theoretically, we just played a team whose running back was out of the game because his metatarsal broken screwed foot acted up.
And he was going to play. And he might play this week.
Right.
Just thought it was interesting. Bill Belichick had a comment about Ryan Wendell, I don't even know how to pronounce his name.
Came in at center.
Well, he sort of hinted that it wasn't necessarily something that, it was just, spur of the moment thing. It's an ongoing. They're looking to get him some time, and he could be taken over for Conley. So maybe, I don't know why you're making faces, Fred. The offensive line has had major trouble protecting Brady for a month.
Right.
So you make changes when that happens.
Okay, but
so you can scoff and make faces.
It just so happened after a bad snap.
Dick, no. That's the whole point of reading the tweet. It had nothing to do with the snap. It's they're looking to, well, what was the reason last year when he replaced him at guard?
No, that's a possibility, but Fred's right. It came after a bad snap. The circumstances of this change.
Right. But how do you know that
look like you reacted the same way you reacted at safety
and
guys suck and you replaced them in the second
half? Yeah, to me, that goes out the window when Conley comes right back in. To me, that tells me that the plan was to get Wendell time and that happened to be
the
time.
Could be.
Last year, if you recall, toward the end of the season, and even earlier in the season, Conley was benched for Wendell at various times.
I think the reasoning is accurate. It's why I said in November, Marcus Cannon would be starting games at guard back when Conley was a guard. I thought he would be unseated. I don't think he's a starting caliber offensive lineman. Now,
Waters came
in and is fine. Right. The problem is Cannon
doesn't play center. He's right. a tackle right. slash guard. Yeah. Otherwise, I think he would be vying for playing time.
Yeah.
You know, assuming he's ready physically.
Sure. Shamir writes in from Ottawa. Tough loss on Sunday, but I'm not one to go all negative yet. I'm not surprised it turned out the way it did, considering the D did what it does best. I think that the last two games should serve as a wake-up call for those of us in Pats Nation that there are no more easy games or gimmies. We in Pats Nation should stop thinking that we're going to win every game by at least 10 points simply by showing up. I think we'll make the playoffs with a 10-6 or 11-5 record. That's just my 2 cents. Go Pats. J-E-T-S. Still suck, suck, suck.
By the way, Paul, you're giving me...
I took the points.
You're giving me credit for my prediction that this was the, or assessment, this was the worst defense ever.
Yeah.
Would you give me the same credit for a certain assessment I made after a certain player played safety against the Oakland Raiders and said he was maybe the worst defensive back I've ever seen on this team?
Less, only because I don't really think you had many people arguing with you on that one.
Bill apparently argued with me. He's been giving him playing time the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I would have cut him. I would have Patrick passed him and stripped the jersey off his warm, sweaty body.
He gave him a snap on Sunday. Came back and
he put him in last
ass.
Week, too, though.
No, I know, but I don't think there were a lot of people arguing with you on that one. Whereas...
You make fun of Sean Mayer? I'll take Sean Mayer on the goal line.
Okay.
Let's go to Orlando.
There's a long list of things that you won't give me
hey,
any
Orlando.
Credit for. But
what do you got? Give me one.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
The Good. Offense struggling?
Very tough. Nice. Listen, before I go any further, because I want to talk a little bit about maybe the future of this defense, but before I go any further, first of all, Fred, I got to talk about Andy for a second.
Uh-oh. Right?
Go ahead.
Andy, and just stay quiet. All right? Just stay quiet.
You know I don't do that.
That's going to be tough.
Yeah, I know. Last time I called, I was so enraged over what happened, right? Andy on the boards cut me off, okay? He cut me off, and he said, well, I felt like there was going to be a swear coming or something, so I got to cut you off. Let me tell you something. This is why they call him a man of the people. He understood the common man's anger. He knew what was happening, and like a guy taking the keys away from a drunk driver, said, nah, you're not driving home tonight. Once again, like I said, understanding the common man's anger, the common man's anguish over this team, he smartly, deftly cut the call off and saved the show from being a swear fest.
I'm a hero. I agree. I'm a hero.
Oh, God.
Now, listen, look, guys, part of the reason why I was upset, obviously the defense, but some kid got sassy with me, you know, at a parking lot, you know, like over there. So I took a page out of a Paul Perillo book on how to deal with women in public places.
Lead pipe to the head.
Listen, that's no. You know, just because Andy likes to let you think it's women. That's not
young
those,
girls too.
Those people at Green Bay after that Super Bowl.
All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him pounding the shit out of him.
And that was a guy. It was a guy.
Oh God!
Wait, that was in a parking lot here. You got into a fight?
Yeah, they were getting a little sassy with him. You didn't hear?
What'd they do?
You know what? I can't. I don't want to speak about it. Law enforcement might be listening, but let's just put it this way. I straightened her out. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for the inspiration.
I'm glad I could help, Big O.
All right. Thanks.
Guys, listen. Yep. I want to know about the future of this defense. In case the defense still plays this badly next year, what do you guys see as some changes that they might make to this defense? Because I can't imagine them going with this same crew next year.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of the old guys are gone. Andre Carter might be back. He might be a guy that they'd be willing to give another year. And I believe he signed a 2-year deal.
Orlando,
right?
One of the biggest concerns I have all year is I feel like you're in a situation where you have to blow it up and start all over again next year.
Well, on some level you are.
I think you gotta.
I'll spend the months of February, March, and April saying they need to draft an outside edge rusher. And they'll spend the month of April not drafting an outside rusher.
Looking for the, the diamond in the rough player that no one else wanted,
right,
that they thought was a first round pick.
We'll continue to look for the 6'4", 260-pound guy who just happens to also run a 4.6 40 and can jump through the roof. Even though that guy really doesn't exist, as Mike Reese has pointed out of late, maybe when you're looking for these perfect guys who have played 3 years, are captains, can fit all your measurables, you're missing on guys like Alden Smith, who's a little thin-framed, a little undersized, didn't have a lot of playing time, or a guy like, who's the other guy I wanted to bring up that didn't fit the mold? Oh, Juan-Pierre Paul. I call him Juan-Pierre. He's JPP around here, who was inexperienced, undersized, just a great athlete. Maybe you need to go after one of those great athletes and find an impact player for the edge that doesn't fit every single criteria that you have.
They need a dynamic front seven presence.
Thanks for the call, Orlando.
Don't hit any women the rest of the way, because I have to protect you from yourself.
Let's
sometimes.
Go to Matt in New York. Hey,
Matt. Law enforcement might be listening.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Matt.
What's up, Matt?
It's, yeah.
It's actually Nat, but that's cool.
Oh, Nat. Okay. Short anyway, for Nathaniel. Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Pleasure to be on the line with you all. I listen to you a lot, and you know, the recent search for positivity.
Yes.
I just want to bring something into the mix, which is this. This team that we have now may not be the most talented, but it actually reminds me of 2000, 2001, because it was a bunch of guys that were just like you say, they're not, they're kind of scrap heap guys that came together and played hard as a team, and they were not undefeated. They made a lot of mistakes, but they made it to the playoffs and they beat the Rams.
Yeah, but here's
and
the
I'm
problem.
I'm feeling good
with
about this team.
Wow. At the time, they were like that, but it turned out that they had Richard Seymour and Ty Law and Willie McGinnis, and you know, they had a lot, and you know, even Brian Cox was, you know, he wasn't great at that
Brian,
point, but
yeah,
he was a playmaker.
I mean, all these guys, it's like I believe the ingredients are there. I mean, we can be negative all year and bash on the untalented. There's nothing we can do. Like, you guys know, there's nothing we can do to exchange Arrington and McCourty. Those are our corners. So what I'm saying is this, that if we all just focus more positive energy on this team coming together as a unit and doing their job and getting better every week, I mean, yeah, we're not going to be 10 and we might get to the playoffs with 10 wins, but I definitely feel like Belichick has actually done a pretty good job putting people together, and it's about execution. And, you know, guys like Teddy Bruschi didn't get there in their first 5 years even. I mean, they got there by losing. I mean, I was there with Bledsoe making intentional grounding every frickin' third down, and it was just like,
well, all right, we all remember that.
Tireless.
I was doing a very good job of letting this go until he made it personal with Bledsoe.
But here's the thing.
Wait a minute. I want to say something.
Yeah.
Ooh. You think that Bill Belichick has done a really good job of putting this team together?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to stick with my guns. Yeah,
there's nothing to argue with then, because
I mean,
we obviously have a difference in opinion.
There are mistakes in the sense that I don't know why he went for running backs. Honestly,
I'm just looking at the talent on the roster.
Like Sammy Moore, stay with us.
I mean, I'm just looking at the overall talent level of the roster, especially on defense. To compare this team to 2001 is an incredible slap in the face to the 2001 defense. They had 8-10 guys better than the best player in this defense. On that defense, they allowed, I think, they allowed 272 points that year.
Seymour, you know, their errors. I mean,
their backups. Their backups were better than the starters on this team in 2001. That was 2001 wasn't as good as the St. Louis Rams talent wise, man for man. But the 2001 team was the best team in the AFC East by a long shot.
And they also had a slew of guys who made plays.
Absolutely.
Whatever you think of them. They made plays. They had guys that, and even, I mean, Ty Law was Ty Law at that point. He had faded a little bit, but he had already been an All-Pro in 98.
He didn't fade in 01.
No.
Like 03, 04.
No, he faded before then, too. Late 90s, he got fat and happy. And then Bill came back, and he kind of got back to being Ty Law. But, you know, Willie McGinnis was a good player. Not great, but he was good.
Smart.
And he had a knack for making plays.
Right.
And even the guys they brought in, you started to see that Vrabel was going to make some plays. Roman Pfeiffer was going to make some plays. Antoine Smith, when you needed him, made plays. Even some of the Jags, they had Wiggins and J.R. Redmond could make plays.
Who's the best linebacker on the team right now?
Gerard Mayo.
Do you think he starts in 2001? I don't. I don't think he knocks Bruschi, Johnson, Pfeiffer, McGinnis, Vrabel. I don't think he's number six. That's an ultimate slap in the face of the 2001 team. Was it an overly talented roster? No. It was an incredible coaching job by Bill. No question. It was a waiver wire team and whatnot. But those guys were free agents. They weren't, they weren't like scrap heap guys. They were regular. Mike Vrabel had a semblance of success in Pittsburgh. They didn't know quite how he fit. They signed him as a free agent. That was a guy they targeted and went out and signed.
Right.
They did that with a lot of guys that year, you know, but there's a difference between that and guys that are out of the league. That's what you have now.
Colin Waterloo says, when the Patriots acquired Ocho Cinco, I was hoping for another successful reclamation project. I thought back to 07 and thought that perhaps Brady was so sharp that year because of all the new targets and he spent so much time teaching and working with the new receivers that he himself became sharper. I expected Brady's continued work with Ocho Cinco to make him a better quarterback. but it doesn't seem to be working for either side. Ochoa was not getting this offense, and Brady has had some terrible games. Would getting rid of Ochoa help Brady?
It might. It takes something off his plate. It certainly takes something he doesn't have to deal with.
Well, that's another reason why, by the way, I don't think they're going to get Randy Moss. Because I think
something on his plate.
Yes.
But, I mean, on the field, he clearly, they have plays where they're deciding there's a good chance we're going to Ochoa here. And then off the field, he has to talk to him about every play after every play happens and break it. That's a weight on his shoulders that he doesn't need to deal with. The one thing I'll question, and the one defense of Ochoa I've had a long time, which I've kind of, you know, I've stopped saying recently, he didn't have the whole offseason. Even when Brady was doing his BC camp for 2 days and his West Coast camp for a day or two,
right.
Ochoa was a Cincinnati Bengal.
Right.
So he wasn't a part of that mix.
He didn't come till just before training camp.
Right. So that's a big difference.
What August. There was of training camp.
It's August.
That's a big difference.
Not the
I'm not saying that he deserves the excuse, because as I joked in the press box, Ocho's quarterback in Cincinnati is now playing quarterback for the Oakland Raiders. Yeah, they lost, but he's completing touchdown passes. He looks like he can actually play on the football field, and he's been in Oakland for a couple weeks. So you don't need an entire offseason to be able to at least compete on a football field.
It's weird.
And
really
let me just say, the Moss thing with putting another thing, I should say, I don't think they should get Moss because of that. I'm not saying whether they will or not. I don't know. But I don't think they should get it
because I don't think it'll help him.
I don't think he can play, and I don't think that it's worth the headache it's going to provide the quarterback with, because I do think he'll be a headache.
What's the downside to playing Price?
Nothing. Just that you think he's going to screw up. But
Ocho's going to screw up.
That's what I'm saying. Other than
the
that,
devil you
who
no,
is
no, no, no.
Right.
I want to know the devil I don't know.
Right. No,
I almost screwed that up.
There is
Speaking
no downside.
Screw ups.
Solid Andy.
Did you tell him about the PPGS? I had a bit of a struggle.
Yeah, he was.
I couldn't
Andy
speak.
Had a hard time
the whole
speaking.
Show. Could really? Not speak.
It was like, you know when. You know that entertainment reporter who had like the seizure in the middle of her stand up and she was speaking unintelligible?
Right.
That's what Andy sounded like.
Yeah. I couldn't talk. I don't know why. I felt like you.
Cedric in Chicago, I wanted to bring something up about the Patriots and the Packers. The Packers defense is not far from being stinky.
This is the part of the show where we say the Patriots are better than the
Our
Packers.
Our defense is stinky. Don't you guys think that it comes down to Tom Brady? Don't get me wrong, he is the second best quarterback after Aaron Rodgers, and I would not trade him for anyone except Rodgers, but let's get to my point. I think that Tom is seeing pressure too soon instead of taking his time in the pocket and making right decisions.
I agree with that.
Regarding Bill, I would be happy if he could finally draft talent rather than value. Fred, I can't believe you undervalued Peppers.
Too.
Did you see the game yesterday between the Packers and the Bears? I am with Andy and Paul, and give the Pep $20 million a year for 5 years rather than pay Sean $6 million. It is time to forget about that value crap that Belichick loves and go for talent and free agency in the draft. Go for the Sony, for God's sake. Andy is fabulous. Paul is awesome. Fred is Bill's bitch. Eric, well, who cares about Eric? So,
did you have something to comment there on, Andy?
Didn't the Bears play the Eagles last night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't that say yesterday's game with the Packers?
No.
Oh, he started off talking about the Packers. Did he misspeak? The one thing with the Packers defense that I just want to pump the brakes a little bit, if the Patriots were getting 21-point fourth-quarter leads and they were last in the league in pass defense, I'd be a little bit more on the...
Right, because a lot of them are garbage yards.
You know, and I'm not saying that... Listen, the Packers are not playing well defensively. They're not all garbage yards that the Packers are allowing. That's not...
No, they're...
The Chargers got back in the game the other day. They had a legitimate chance to tie that game. They had two possessions down a touchdown. So I'm not dismiss... Much like I get kind of... I bristle when we say that about the Patriots. Oh, they were all garbage yards. Well, they're not all garbage yards. And...
But didn't I see the Packers returning interceptions for touchdowns?
Yeah. Two of them,
Have
as
I
a matter
seen
of
that?
Fact.
From this defense, the ability to make a play?
No, but my point being is I think that Green Bay is pretty good. Excuse me.
What? You all right, Paul? Paul's.
I think Green Bay is pretty good defensively, and they're just not playing that well. There's a difference. I think the Patriots are playing as well as they can play on defense.
My point is they have
especially
playmakers.
Sunday.
I don't care what the numbers
tell
me.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's when I made Gary Tangway mad at me on TV because he said, you know, the Packers, no one's saying the Packers stink too. And I said,
they don't.
Would you rather have Clay Matthews or Andre Carter? Would you rather have Charles Woodson or Kyle Arrington? And he said, well, you don't have to get snappy with me.
Well, there's one thing that Bill said in his post-game press conference that I
BJ
don't...
BJ Raji or Vince Wilfork?
I don't think that I ever heard him say before. And it bothered me where he just said, well, we did the best we could. I don't think he's ever said that before. And
So the did Cartman go off in your head? And sometimes the best not good enough.
Well, my question that I was asking myself was, well, is it the best you could? Well,
let me ask you this too, Fred.
Because usually it's not that.
Did you hear the beginning of the press conference yesterday? Were you here yesterday for the press conference?
I was here, but I didn't go down. No.
The very beginning. When was the last time you saw a Bill Belichick press conference, a regular press conference in the media workroom, not begin with him having some sort of opening remark? Can you ever recall that? I can't recall it a single time.
Really?
Maybe a conference call. Right. And sometimes he comes in and will be like, all right, well, we're just wrapping up things on the Giants. What do you guys got? Something like that. I don't know if Kevin can play it. It'd be the very beginning off the website. He almost comes in. It's not like this is the last thing in the world I want to be doing. All right. What do you got?
But, you know, it's funny.
That's what he says. He doesn't have any.
People
he always has an opening comment. Well, you know, after watching the film, it's pretty much what I said yesterday after
Actually,
the game.
Actually, that's always what he says.
You know, but even if it's just that plastic sentence or two, this was.
He couldn't even conjure that
up. This is so disgusting to me right now. I don't even want to bother with the, you know, the charade of trying to do anything about this.
Although Eric got some really long answers. Did you watch it? Eric was like, you know, he really spent a lot of time with Eric.
What were the questions?
It had to do with when and when not to use a no huddle. And he kind of at first got bitch slapped.
I would have bet anything.
Because, you know, at first he's like, well, you know, it's not like we on one play you go no huddle and then you don't. You're either in it or you're not. You know, that's kind of the point. But then he kept going and he really spent some time answering the question.
Well, he's always nicer to the girls during the week than he is post game. He wanted to fight one girl post game. He almost pulled a Perillo and went over the podium at her.
I thought he was going to at one point.
Remind he was having a bro down with her, basically. He was nodding his head like, you want to go? You want to go, bro?
Mike and Charlotte, Bill is cutting people on defense and not bringing in better players. A good percentage of his draft picks are not panning out. A very large percentage of his free agents are not working out. Was Scott Pioli more important to this team than everyone thought?
Fred, you want to handle that one?
They made the same mistakes when he was here.
I'm going to say the same thing I said to
they
you.
They did.
Freddie, earlier.
What?
I don't necessarily think that any of these five guys is the answer. And I don't think that any of the five guys were incorrectly shipped out of town. But since August, since the last week of August, you have cut Brandon Merriweather, James Sanders, Jonathan Wilhite, Darius Butler, yep, and Lee Bodden.
Right.
Well, one of them was incorrectly shipped out of town. His name's James Sanders.
I'm not making the argument. I'm not saying that. I could make an argument individually for any of the five or none of the five. That's not my point. But this, to me, is indisputable. You currently have eight defensive backs on your roster, and you only have three, in my opinion, that are better than any of those five. Patrick Chung, Devin McCourty, and Kyle Arrington.
Yeah. Right.
I really don't think that's disputable. So you cut, of your own volition, five NFL-caliber defensive backs, and you decide to let them all go so you could have a guy off the waiver wire in Antoine Molden who was on the worst defense in football last year and wasn't good enough to stay. And, oh, by the way, that defense is ranked number one right now. Phillip Adams, who you've cut 17 times this season, and no one has seen fit to scoop him up when you let him go. Sergio Brown, who Andy says doesn't belong in an NFL field, and I can't necessarily say I disagree with him. He's a special teams player. Josh Barrett, great special teams player. Not sure he's a key part of your defense. And James Ahedebo. Those five guys are better than the five guys you let go?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't make that argument for any of them.
I
don't want Merriweather back. This isn't 2020 hindsight. I think Merriweather's a stiff. He didn't play last night, evidently, according to Twitter. He wasn't even out there for the Bears. I'm not saying any of these guys individually. I'm saying collectively, you had five guys who ranged from what, third or fourth year to eight year. And you cut them all in favor of nothing.
Well, I think that, you know, the only thing you could say is that what they have may not be as good. But maybe it wasn't that much worse where the problems that those people were causing.
But did you have to make it? First of all, Lee Bodden, we think, might have been a problem.
Merriweather wasn't?
Merriweather couldn't play.
Well, I know, but.
That's a different story.
Yeah.
And isn't it our job to keep
talent? So is it any worse having a Ahedebo than Merriweather?
Yes.
It is?
Yes, a Ahedebo can't play.
But you said Merriweather couldn't
play. You're missing my point. But Merriweather can play at the NFL level. I just don't think he's... I don't think... I would have gotten rid of him. I would have cut Merriweather. So eliminate Merriweather.
Okay.
Sanders, he's better. A thousand times better. Why'd you cut him?
Of those, Sanders is the big question.
Darius Butler is better than Antoine Molden and Phillip Adams.
I don't know about that.
Well, then you're not watching. You're not watching with your eyes open.
I think they both can't play. I mean, they're not that great.
See, this is the kind of stuff you can't argue with anybody because nothing the guy does can ever be proven wrong. Even when you make moves and they're proven wrong right in front of you, Julius Peppers, what's he done for Chicago? How can you argue with that?
Why do you think he did that? Why do you think he made those moves?
Only he knows.
Why do you think he cut Darius Butler?
Only he knows.
Right. But
I don't. But you can't argue with me and tell me that he's not better than Antoine Molden.
I didn't say that.
You did.
I said they both can't play.
So you said that he was better.
So there might.
I said Butler was better, and you said I'm not so sure about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. They're both. I said
so. You
both
think
can't
the guy
play.
You kept
no, they're
is better?
Both about the same.
So why keep the guy off the scrap heap then, and not
because,
your draft pick?
Because
not the guy who's been in your system for 2 years.
Because. And I don't know this for a fact, but it seems to me that there might have been some other problem with that group, that he was. Whittling these guys off.
Isn't the coach's job?
Yes.
To nip that stuff in the
Absolutely.
Bud and get everybody on the page,
that
on the
could
same
be
page?
Look, they've had a problem in that secondary with coaches. We saw it over the last 3 years. You know, they try to bring in Corin Brown. That didn't work. They just moved
I'm not
past-
talking about, don't put it off on these, on subservient guys that are not part of the problem. I'm talking about the head coach.
Whatever. It all comes down to Belichick. I mean, he's had a, he's not managed the coaching of that group well.
I thought there was some columns recently, and you and I talked about one of them, really questioning all the assistant coaches. To me, that's just a chicken bleep way around the problem.
Well, no, it comes down to Bill. Bill's the guy that brings in those coaches. You're being a paper tiger.
Yeah. Don't blame this on Josh Boyer. This isn't Josh Boyer's fault.
Right.
No. Who's the secondary coach right now? It's not his fault.
Right.
You give him a bunch of waiver wire undrafted free agents, and you say, hey, go out there and shut down the NFL's best passing attacks.
But I don't
attacks.
Think Chris Gasper was saying it was Josh Boyer's fault. He was saying it's Bill Belichick's fault for having Josh Boyer back there.
There was another column that I...
Oh, really?
On Monday from somebody.
Oh, okay. I'm who? Thinking of Gasper's column.
Who? Come on. I don't know who it was.
I just think it's a cheap shot. I think it's
well, it
who
is.
Wrote it? And then make him stand up for it. Who wrote it?
I didn't read it, so I don't want to say. Oh. But I was told about it.
You know,
it.
It's not like you brought in Dean Pease or, you know, Dom Capers. Then you could say, well... You know, if things were failing, okay. Because you assume that they've got some type of say and some control over
I never assume anybody other than Bill has some type of say.
That's why. Bill gets all the credit, but none of the blame. It's amazing.
But I think
what a great job.
Don't you think he's getting a lot of blame these days?
But people like you are defending him. The people are questioning the things that he does, but they're being told that they're wrong.
Well,
because Julius Peppers isn't panning out in Chicago.
I just think that, you know, getting rid of all those defensive backfield guys is so egregious that it had to be something.
See, that's
more,
what I'm saying.
That's the benefit
that's
of the doubt.
That's it. That's the benefit of the doubt you give
all
him.
The benefit
you
of the
really
doubt.
Just think that he just said, I think that James Ahedabo is better than Brandon Merriweather.
I think Sanders one is inexplicable. I don't think there's an excuse for that. I think it's inexplicable. There's no excuse. You cut Merriweather afterwards. You had to have known you were cutting Merriweather. You left yourself without a safety net.
Why would you put yourself in a position where you didn't have any NFL experience in your defensive backfield?
Good question.
But I'm sure he had a reason, Paul.
You know, and,
I'm
and
sure he had a very good reason.
We've had
it was
all
in the
these,
best interest of his football team.
Right, we've
Paul.
Had all these examples of these bad guys who aren't necessarily with the program, but they're still playing at a high level, and we hold our nose because they're playing at a high level. But suddenly, we can't keep Darius Butler because he may have been a problem.
Yeah, but here's the
problem. We have nothing to base that
on.
Nothing but a polite kid in the locker room.
Here's the problem
that we know
with that, Paul. None of them were playing at a high level.
No. What I'm saying is, don't tell me you cut the guy because he's a problem. You didn't. You cut him because you didn't think he could play. But the problem with
Andy
that
was
is,
the problem.
There,
no.
There, by the way,
there's
there
nothing
reports,
to tell me that.
There are reports on Twitter that the Patriots have released Albert Haynesworth.
Well, there you go.
Well, we talked about it at the top of the show. I'm not surprised.
Who tweeted that out?
Rappaport.
And what are they citing?
Ian Rappaport is tweeting that the Patriots have cut Albert Haynesworth.
Per PFW.
And we're not surprised by that based on our conversation.
We're not shocked. No, we're not. And let's talk about that because that's big news. Even though we're not surprised, can this be a good thing for the team? You know, is it, you know, hey, we made a mistake bringing him in. We're going to cut our losses right now. We want guys that want to play 60 minutes and practice. Can this be a good thing for this team, cutting Albert Haynesworth at this point?
It can't be a bad thing. So, I don't know if it's a good thing, but it can't be a bad thing because you weren't getting anything out of him on the field. You know how I feel. I go back to August with this. I was disgusted when we made the trade to get him, and this is a good day for me.
I love the tweet. Breaking. The Patriots have released defensive tackle Albert Haynesworth, comma. I'm reporting.
No crap, you moron. I know you're reporting it. You're the reporter.
And then he says, wow. Is he saying wow that he reported
right.
it or that they cut him?
This guy's unbelievable, Paul. I know we're not allowed to talk about him on this show, but he's unbelievable.
He deserves to get ripped for that.
And then he even writes another one. The release of Albert Haynesworth, which I'm reporting, comes 2 days after sideline conversation with defensive line Pepper Johnson. But it certainly is no surprise at all on any level. I'm reporting that. It's no surprise to
Andy
Hart.
Funny?
I am reporting.
Evidently, Mike Giardi was listening to our show because he has just gone to Pro Football Focus to get the following tidbit. Brady is 9 for 34 on balls thrown over 20 yards this season with 2 touchdowns and 2 picks. He's only thrown the ball in the air 20 yards 34 times in 8 games. That doesn't seem like a very high number to me.
I don't know. I don't know what.
And 9 completions is ridiculously low.
You know, it's like 3 or 4 a game.
8 games. Yeah. 4 a game.
20 yards is not long. Yeah. That's not a long way.
You know, it could be all 21 yards, too. You know, you don't know.
Yeah, I would like, to see how many times the ball traveled more than 30 yards.
I mean, when Moss was here, I thought that he took too many shots downfield. Now they're not taking any shots.
But, I mean,
downfield.
We know. Some of them have been long ones. Hernandez,
that's
at least
true.
Twice in
you
Dallas.
You know what? When he came back in
Ocho
the game,
in Buffalo.
Yep, you're right.
Ocho this week.
You're right.
The completion to, I mean, you can think of some that have traveled a decent amount.
Patriots are announcing they're bringing in Joe Paterno as defense. No, that's not true.
Oh, that's not funny.
Well, I heard that Pete Shepard, if you're interested in that story and you want to talk about Pete, is going to spend a lot of time during his show at 4 o'clock talking about the Penn State mess.
Why?
People want to talk about it, you know?
On Patriots.com?
Just interesting that today they canceled that press conference that was supposed to take place and clearly run by the lawyers. I mean, that's not
well,
a PR thing.
I think it's the New York Times is reporting that they are facilitating the removal of Joe Paterno from Penn State University.
Good. Which, you know, I've never been a huge Paterno fan. But he, you know, so I'm not exactly unbiased, but
like
he
the
needs,
Catholic Church over there.
He needs to go.
Yeah, I think it's a little fraudulent in my opinion, though.
It is the Catholic Church. It's very similar.
Bob,
he's playing the role of Cardinal Law.
Right. But would they be facilitating his exit if he were Urban Meyer, if he were 40 and had coming off a national
Maybe
title?
Maybe in this day and age, you might have to.
Maybe.
Yeah. You know, like Jim Tressel had to go.
I think it's pretty easy to do right
do
now.
Do you know what I'm saying? Jim
he's
Tressel had to go.
An aging, fading coach who you probably wanted to get rid of, but couldn't.
No, it makes it easier. But Paul makes a good point. Tressel didn't get any slack.
Andy and I talked about this earlier
for
the
first
year,
17 times.
Penn State is probably, I mean, this isn't the way you want to do it, and it's going to hurt the program in the short term, but they were probably looking for the best way to cut ties.
I don't think this is the way.
This isn't the way they wanted to do it.
When they spun the wheel of ways to get rid of them, how about molestation?
Right. No, but my point, and Andy, you made the point upstairs. This is probably
best interest
for them in the best interest of their football program to get rid of him in a way that now they don't look bad.
Bob writes, and nobody has brought this up, the Pats have now lost 2 games coming off the bye. That certainly is counterintuitive given Belichick's reputation as using the extra week to plan his moves. But let me offer a litmus test, which will indicate that the Pats are not making the playoffs. Losing to a JAG team such as Kansas City, Washington, or Miami, Denver, or Indy, that the Pats have seldom done under Brady. Could we be seeing the football version of the sinking of the Titanic?
I wouldn't dismiss that Chiefs one.
If they lose next week to the Jets and they're 5-4, I consider there are 5 games left that are unlosable right now. Kansas City, Indianapolis, Miami, Washington, and Denver. I think they're unlosable. But if they go 5-4,
right.
I think you bring into play the possibility of one of those games being a loss.
Yeah,
you know, and I'll say this. Washington is unlosable if John Beck plays quarterback. If Rex Grossman plays, I think they can beat you. Because you never know when he has one of those crazy days where he just doesn't throw the interceptions that he normally does. He has talent, Rex Grossman. John Beck doesn't. That's the difference.
Adam Kaplan says the Patriots will be on the hook for the remaining prorated portion of Albert Haynesworth's $1.5 million salary for the rest of the season. Who cares?
Right, so why are you reading it? You cut me off. I have a question. You know, we like to involve Twitter on the PPGS, so I'm bringing it into this show. Maka2907 wants to know, with Fat Albert on his way out, is this the most embarrassing season for the Patriots since the 90s? There's a lot going on, kind of story-wise.
Yeah, there are a lot of bad things.
If this snowballs, it could be.
But
right now,
they're still 5-3.
Yeah, it's,
and they've had this every year. They've had either Adalys Thomas or Randy Moss. They've had one of these blow up every year, pretty much.
Yeah, the difference is you throw in a Julian Edelman situation. You know, there's some things that make it bad, but they're still 5-3.
But you know,
they had all of these legal kind of things and bad guys while going 1-15. So it's kind of hard to.
Plus, back then, like, owners were doing dumb things and GMs were doing dumb things. So,
you know,
it's a little different now.
Remember the Victor Kiam comment? You know,
I got your Patriot missile right here, baby.
I wasn't actually going to make the comment, just kind of allude to it, but thanks.
John,
and that's another Patriots first down.
John Rooks here. And, John, you probably heard the Patriots, according to Ian Rappaport, have cut Albert Haynesworth.
Yes.
So that's big news. I'm sure everybody's going to want to talk about that. Plus, we've got a ton of emails that we didn't get to because the phone lines were so jammed. So you've got plenty of stuff people want to talk about. Ocho Cinco, the defense, the offense, personnel moves, you name it. It's going to be a good Tuesday for you.
How about the Penn State story?
The Penn State story is out there, you know.
Honestly, I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah.
That in this day and age, something like that, you know, can occur. And apparently the passing of the buck, if you will, can go as high as it has, and people turn their heads, and I don't know what this says about us as human beings, but right now, if I'm an alien and I'm looking in on this planet, we suck.
It's kind of like the guy who saw his first Patriots game this week, the European guy. Yeah. I thought they were supposed to be good.
I thought people were nice.
Yeah, it's not good there.
Nope.
So
nope, not at all.
They all deserve to lose their jobs.
Well, I think that goes without saying, but, you know, I also would say, and I'll take a sort of contrarian view, and I know you guys are trying to get out of here, but I would tell you that, you know, while it's something has to happen, and it's probably best that, I mean, the entire house get cleaned, I don't think that everybody should run off and judge and assume a, what's a good word for it, a vigilante point of view here, or a vigilante attitude toward it, because our country is founded on innocent until proven guilty. And so until this works its way through the courts and the processes and everybody has their time, so to speak, I don't know how some people can say, oh, Joe Pa, there's no way he can coach this weekend. Well, yes, there is, because there actually are some people who are actually innocent here and some people who did not do perhaps what they should have, but by the laws that we created, okay,
sure.
Us.
Yeah.
He did what he was supposed to do.
Well, yeah, but he didn't follow up.
He didn't.
Right. You know, and it's like, remember that guy that I told you? Whatever happened.
I think
Fred, that's where he's culpable. Yeah. Yeah. That is where he's culpable, and undoubtedly, that's what's going to get him.
Yeah, but I think he's out of a job by this time tomorrow, and I think he should be.
Well, I'll go one better than that. I don't know that he is out of a job, but I will say that, you know, this is the last year of his contract. There's no way that Penn State renews it.
Oh, no, they're already working to get out. I mean, I think they probably didn't want to have him back anyway.
No, but it wasn't discussed. I think they were kind of hoping that he was going.
But they might have to cancel that Joe Pa Day next year.
I think that's likely. Yeah. I think this is where you're going to have to kind of move off.
There's enough facts out there with that, you know, that the testimony, that the grand jury testimony. You know, he knew about it. And
well, I know, and that's what's disturbing.
He didn't
about
do anything about it.
But again, it's grand jury testimony.
It's not that he didn't do anything.
He reported it and then looked the other way.
Right. Well, I don't know about that. I haven't read the whole thing, so I don't know.
Grand jury testimony is not testimony in front of a court of his peers. So, again, grand jury testimony is completely different.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's criminally responsible for anything here.
Correct.
But I think he deserves to lose his job. He's the leader.
Oh, yeah.
He's the leader
of men.
He should be out of a job by this time tomorrow.
That's not the point that I'm arguing.
That's all I'm saying. I don't think he belongs in prison.
Right.
And I know some people do. I don't think he's...
No, he doesn't.
And the other guy can rot in hell.
The state of Pennsylvania hasn't decided he belongs in prison because he's not being charged. The other people are.
Right, and I agree with that.
One interesting note that Darren Revelle tweeted, the best tweeter there is out there.
Yeah.
The Nike campus has a daycare facility for all the employees. It's the Joe Paterno Child Development Center.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. Really?
They might want to change that.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW Progress. We got to go do our TV show. John Rooks here with the playbook. He's going to get to all the emails we didn't. Have a good show, John. And at 4 o'clock, Pete Shepard will be here. He wants to talk about Penn State. So if you want to talk about that, you've got all day to do it. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.